Hello.
Hello.
Bonjour.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, guys.
What's going on? Happy Sunday.
And we are live.
Same to you guys.
Are we broadcasting live?
Sure.
Live on tape. No. Yes, we are broadcasting live. Just come on to Skype and you'll hear us live. We're broadcasting live on Skype for anyone who wants to join us.
Right on.
I haven't looked into any of those other methods of broadcasting, like
like video broadcasting, so you could.
Yeah, they have that Google Hangouts one.
Google Hangout. I have seen it in action. Apparently, it works, but I haven't used it myself personally. So.
Yeah, I've never used it. You're kind of breaking up, Micah.
Am I? Hold on. Let's see if I can try to fix my internet.
I was downloading something.
Downloading everything ever.
Downloading torrents of illegal comics.
Probably.
Or Japanese animation that no one has ever heard of before.
Those are legal. That's okay.
You sounded better right there.
Are we good?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
What was it? You start closing things or what?
Yes, I just started closing things. Like, what is open? Steam might have been doing things in the background, so that was
Steam.
Steam.
Michael,
a really bad
Steam.
Band from the 70s, or actually, it's cheap. A platform for computer games.
Oh.
It's like a storefront. It's like a digital storefront, and.
I thought you were just taking a hot shower and there was a lot of steam.
I turned off the steam.
I turned off the steam. It was causing chaos on the electronics.
I mean, I think that would cause chaos on my electronics.
So how you guys been doing?
Good.
Are you back in school now, Micah?
Yeah.
How's that going?
It's going well. I mean, like always, it's tiring because the schedule is all the way filled up. So it's just basically school and work and then eating dinner and then doing homework and going to sleep.
And recording brunch.
Oh, and trying to read like a couple of comic books throughout the week so that I can talk about deep brunch. Deep brunch is like the only reason I read comics anymore. Not because I don't like them. Just because I force myself to read them.
Don't have time.
Yeah. It's like comics, that's right. Comic books.
Well, doesn't it help you decompress, like reading a comic book before bed, or what do you?
No, not fucking Micronauts.
Micronauts.
Like 1,000 words a page.
That's awesome.
Gives you like 45 minutes to get through an issue of this thing.
I've never read any Micronauts, but I know people like it a lot.
I read the first 6. It's pretty damn awesome.
I did not know that's where Bug came from.
Yeah, Bug was created, though, from Marvel. In other words, I think Marvel still owns the rights. So, like,
no, they do. Like, he's in Guardians of the Galaxy, but I didn't realize he was a Micronauts character
until
now, basically.
Yeah, he was one of the coolest characters. The art in that book, what were you reading? Micronauts what?
Micronauts, in my hand is issue 2.
So that's Michael Golden, isn't it?
Yeah, Golden and Rubenstein.
Yeah, I was going to say, he did the early ones, right?
Let's see. Writer, Bill Mantlo and Michael Golden. Inker. Wait. The writer is Bill Mantlo. This is a confusing way to do this. And then the okay, I see what it is. They both told the story. They both had an idea. And then Barry Mantlo actually did the script and Michael Golden penciled it. But they get, like, co-credit for having ideas, I think. And then Joseph Rubenstein is the inker.
Nice. It's a good creative team. What'd you think of the art? It's pretty nice, huh?
Yeah, it's good. It's good art.
Was that Golden's first? Or probably not his first work. Just early work.
I don't know. That's kind of what he's known for. I know, like, when you go to the cons, he always has Micronauts people in line getting stuff signed.
I know. I knew him from the NOM.
Ah.
That's where I fell in love with his. But he only did, like, the first 6 or 8 issues of the NOM, I think. Maybe 10 issues. I loved his art on that. But that was more of a cartoonier style.
Yeah, he did the first 12 issues of Micronauts before Howard Chaykin took over. And then Pat Broderick came on.
Howard Chaykin did it? I don't think I knew that.
Howard Chaykin did, he did like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 issues. Then Broderick did quite a few. And then you have this Val Malerick, which I've been reading about. And I got to check that out because, well, maybe it's not the same guy. Steve Ditko, Gil Kane. I mean, some big names. Keith Giffen got in on an issue.
Did you ever have any Micronauts figures?
I don't think I did. I had some miniature Shogun Warriors, which I still have. They're probably worth like a gazillion dollars, according to the Toy Hunter.
Only
I have millions of dollars.
Hey, how do I send a link in this thing? Chat? Oh, there it is.
Yeah, you just cut it.
You just hit the little button, the bubble, and then there you go. A link appears.
So this is the one I only had Repto.
Oh, dear.
Do you still have them?
No. He was cool, though, because you could see he was like a green guy, kind of like a reptilian-looking dude.
And then he's a dude with a trapezoid. It's like a trapezoid head that's green and some arms with no hands, I think.
Well, you see...
His hands are red because they're blending into the background.
On the figure itself, he had like removable attachment hands. Like one was like a saw blade.
That's what that is.
And
okay.
One was, I can't remember what the other one was. And then there's wings that went on his back. It was pretty badass, a figure.
He looks like Gumby with wings.
Kind of, yes.
Actually, the drawing looks cooler than the figure because I don't see the eyes in the figure. Are there eyes? It just looks all green.
I think they were just indents. They weren't colored eyes.
Yeah, the picture looks awesome, but the toy itself.
How do you play with your toys if you just have one Micronaut? Like, did he fight with the Star Wars figures, or what did he do?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think I really knew anything about. I don't know why I got it. I didn't really know anything about the Micronauts. I just had that. I think my parents probably just got it for me for something or another. And
probably saw it and thought Bill would like this.
That looks like something Bill would like.
I have plenty of toys like that.
You got a good grade in a class, and they bought you a Micronaut.
Or maybe I was in the store, and I was like, "Oh, this guy looks cool." But at the age when I didn't really care where stuff came from, you know, it's just like whatever's cool. Yeah. I'll get one of those. I think that was before. Was that before Star Wars figures?
This is 78. Well, like
77 of Star Wars.
So it was around the same time.
I think the Star Wars toys came a little later because they didn't know what to think, I think. Like, was this going to be big or was it not? Because that was, like, revolutionary, that movie. I don't know if the toys were released during movie time. I don't think they were.
Yeah, they well, you mean during the first movie?
Yeah.
I think it might have been afterwards.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure it was during.
I'm trying to think.
Oh, I don't know. We have to ask Super Ugly when his parents ordered those figures for him.
1970.
They staged. See, that 1977 was Star Wars, and you looked up 78, right?
The license was sold in 76, and it appears that the movie came out in 77, and it looks like the toys came out next Christmas.
See? I knew it. I didn't buy any toys. That's why I would have...
You would have known.
I would have known. I would have been like, why don't I have these toys?
I'm trying to look at my shelf because I have... Oh, there it is. My Star Wars action figure archive book.
Oh, look at this. to get actual archive stuff more than my internet searching, which is probably more accurate. So.
It's quicker. Here, 1997. No, wait. That's when the book was printed. Oh, they don't have... Yeah, just have 70, so 78. It doesn't say the exact date it came out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it probably took them a while to prep, and then when they knew how big it was, they started making...
Yeah, they probably didn't have any idea about how... Like, they, like Star Wars was going to, you know...
Take off to the point that it did. If they had known, those toys would have been out in 77.
Yeah, nowadays, the figures are out way before the movies come out.
Yeah.
Yes, and they're awesome because of that. You get really cool things like Bane and his like awesome accessories.
What awesome accessories does Bane have?
I don't even remember now. I just remember like looking at the Bane toy, being like, "I wish that was in the movie." Oh, he's like short-mounted Gatling guns.
Ah, Gatling gun.
Yeah, two. They're shoulder-mounted, it's like a jetpack back, like a jetpack bullet holsters, and then two guns that he holds, but big, massive Gatling guns.
Well, did that Raptor, what was that figure's name?
You can buy a Bane mask for your kids.
Raptor. Repto.
Repto. Did he appear in the comic book?
I assume he did.
He's not in this issue, but this is only issue number 2, so.
I wish I had some Micronauts. They're pretty cool. Like, I would love to have a Bug if they had the Bug. And what is his name? Acroyear or
Arrow? Let's see.
That guy with the red helmet.
Acroyear.
I like that guy.
Like, in this issue, there's Space Glider, Marionette, Bug, Acroyear, Microtron, and Biotron.
And I used to think Marionette was sexy as hell. My God. She was hot. I wonder if she had an action figure.
I'm sure she did.
Well, they tended not to make a lot of women action figures back in the day. But who knows? So did you like it or you didn't like it? It sounded like you didn't like it when you first spoke.
Oh, no. It just took me 9 years to read.
But isn't that good?
Sometimes.
It amazes me that we complain about that nowadays. Because it provides a longer duration of entertainment.
Well, if it's good, then as long as it's not being dragged out.
Well, it's weird, right? Because, the story is by no means, decompressed or whatever. Like, it isn't like there's a lot of words and nothing's happening. A lot of things are happening. It's just that there's always a lot of things happening. And it's, really weird. It's really a strange story. Like, there's just a... Like, they're basically... What was that awful movie from the 90s?
There was a lot of them.
That one?
No, with the toys and the war and the, was it Small Soldiers? Small Soldiers. Yeah. Basically, it's sort of like that, in that there are these things that are having a war, and then there's, all the obligatory scenes of lawnmowers coming to get them, and the dog, it's like a really small dog running them over, and then they meet a human boy and he tries to help them out.
The issue 2 is the one that I really liked because of that. I liked it because it started off in issue 1 and in their universe, and then they hit light speed or whatever and ended up in a backyard and almost got mowed over.
Yeah, they almost get mowed over by this kid. Who is gangly as shit. Really weird looking. And then... Yeah. I don't know. It's not bad. I think I have more Micronauts. I know I have more Micronaut issues. I just... As I'm going through the stack, and I guess there must have been in a different box somewhere. So, I only have issue 2 of Micronauts. And it's really strange. I could see liking it if I was a fan of Micronauts as a kid or whatever. Great marketing material.
I thought it read well. I read it recently again.
Did you?
Yeah, I liked it. I'm going to have to get back on that. I have the full run. I think I bought it on eBay because somebody was hyping it on 11 o'clock comics and I wanted to read it. and I never finished, like everything else I read.
See what I have? I have 3 issues.
But awesome. Do you have that figure? No.
No, I still don't. I don't have that figure anymore.
I bet you that's worth a fortune. I bet you they'd. I bet you they'd go over there for collector intervention, and they'd say, "Oh shit, this is figure. Do you want to sell it, Bill?" And Bill's like, "Hell yeah, let's sell this thing. What could it make me?"
Doesn't look like it. I looked it up on eBay. It's not that valuable. Well, I mean, it's not. It's like about $20, maybe.
It's probably like $2.99 at the time, $1.99.
Probably. Unfortunately, I'm one of those people who didn't manage to hold on to a lot of their childhood toys.
Like me. I'm one of those poor souls that you see in those documentaries.
Still has them. Those fake documentaries?
Yeah, the fake documentaries.
Although I think Collection Intervention seems more real than Toy Hunter.
It seems more real, but it's so fake at the same time.
Collection Intervention is just annoying. Because, like, I watched a few bit of it. I can't watch that show. Like, I just hate everyone involved in the process. Like, it's.
I enjoy it because they have these guys. I think the people that collect are real legit. It's just that the show.
Oh yeah, they're legit.
The show's not legit because the producer's saying, "Make him sell his shit, and we'll fake it." And he didn't really sell his shit. Like, if you go read this shit afterwards, like, they showed a guy who had 30,000 comics. And
yeah, I saw that dude.
They were kind of like, I know. They were like comics from the 90s. Like, he was, I've got Quasar! First run! Mark Runwald.
Yeah, that was awesome. Like, he was like, he has a billion books, but it only has books from the 90s when he started collecting comics.
Yeah, so what she was trying to convince him to do is buy, you know, trade some of that for something that is going to appreciate in value, like, you know, Wolverine. So they actually showed that. And then if you go online and read it, he never sold those 8 long boxes for the one first appearance of Wolverine. That didn't even happen. They staged it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fake. And then I was commenting on Facebook on the one where it's a dude who owned a comic book store, and he had a bunch of toys. And he was getting rid of some of his toys. Oh, he had a bunch of Battlestar Galactica toys, right?
No, but he was getting rid of his Star Trek stuff. Because
yeah, his non-Battlestar stuff. And he went to, like, another comic book store and was like, well, why wouldn't he just sell it in his own comic book store?
That is the problem that I argued with Barb. And Barb was saying, well, maybe that other comic store specialized in toys and his didn't. But I'm like, he, as a comic book owner, he should be smart enough to know that a comic book store is not going to pay more than 50%.
Right, he's not going to make any money off it.
Make, right. So if they know they can make $2 off of it, they're going to pay $1 or maybe less, 50 cents.
Less if they can.
Yeah, less if they can. Unless they really want it and they know they can sell it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, plus, I mean, have you ever been in a comic book store that doesn't have a few toys for sale somewhere?
Not anymore.
And as a specialty, the dude could have, like, fenced that stuff not, like, without any real trouble. You just stick it in their store, and you're like, this is classic shit, and it's expensive, and it's a one-time-only deal.
Yeah, he was a co-owner, so he could say, well, in this half area of the store that I own, I can stick my Battlestar stuff and sell it. Or is his... He actually had the Mego dolls for Star Trek.
Yes, Star Trek Megos.
The thing is, they weren't the original Migos. They were the...
Oh, the more recent ones?
Yeah, the more recent ones that were released in previews.
Oh.
And you could tell from the packaging. But so that's what they were saying. You could probably only make... You'd sell Kirk and Spock and Scotty, but you wouldn't sell the rest of them.
Yeah. You could sell them in a store for whatever, a bundle deal.
Yeah, you sell them as a set.
$50 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, if you want Kirk, you got to buy these guys, too.
And so the other thing that was fake about it is he went to the store and the host lady's like, here, I want you to meet my friend Steve or whatever at the comic book store. But then I looked it up and the comic book stores are 3 miles apart. It's like...
They would have to know their existence.
They know each other.
Yeah. So the only reason he went to the other store is to advertise the other store, basically.
Basically, yeah.
friends because he was wearing his shirt that said the name of the store and everything. So,
yeah, those guys
advertising for the store.
I still enjoy the hell out of it though, because I don't know what I'm going to see in it.
I like seeing the collections.
Yeah,
that one dude who had like all the movie posters and stuff.
Oh, that was a fascinating collection.
He had such, and he had all those books and stuff. He had like Warhol books, and who's that one dude? He had a bunch of books by.
Ed Wood. Books. Yeah,
he had, like all the like first print Ed Wood books. It's like, dang.
He was interesting as hell because he was a real obscure collector. Like he looked for the weird and bought the weird, which
had all these crazy posters from like live movies where they did like live stuff during the show and stuff.
Yeah, like the midnight showings and stuff.
Yeah, midnight showings of like old horror movies and stuff. Crazy stuff. Stuff that Mike likes to watch.
Yeah. A lot of Grindhouse stuff. It was pretty cool.
Challenge type material.
Yeah. Mozart's sister. He had the poster of that.
One day that poster's going to go for thousands of dollars.
And on that show, they showed the guy like selling a lot of his stuff, but I'm wondering if he even sold. Because he had like one of them was like a Warhol book that was like, I think it was Warhol.
Yeah, it was a Warhol book.
But it was almost like handmade practically. It was like really, like a really limited one.
Oh my.
It was like a pop-up one, like a pop-up Warhol.
I don't really think they sell it because these collectors just are insane.
Yeah, like the way the show is framed, there's no way that these dudes are selling their stuff off, right? Like in the way they're doing it. Like they took those guys and took them to a con. And so you're expecting this person to just relinquish his thing at its convention to some strangers who they don't, like, you know, like that doesn't seem like that's how it's going to work for them.
Yeah,
I buy it if when they're selling like their junky stuff.
Well,
like,
yeah.
That dude selling his recent Star Wars Mego figures. Okay, I can see that. Or Star Trek Mego figures. Or even that guy with the posters. I could see him selling some of the lower value posters. But there's no way in hell he's selling his ultra rare books. Like, there's just no way. That dude is not getting rid of those books.
Yeah, I tried to look online to see more about that guy, but they didn't have it. You know, after every show, they usually have some data, which was really funny because it usually discredits the show on the website that, you know, the Sci-Fi Channel.
What do they say? Like, he changed his mind and decided not to sell.
Well, no, it's an interview. They basically interview the friends or the wife, and then the collector himself. And usually, when they interview the collector, they say, well, I didn't really sell anything. It was all part of the... But I still find it interesting as hell. Like, I did, just to see that guy's collection, that was really obscure shit.
And he was really resistant to the whole process. He just did not want to... He didn't want them to look at his stuff.
Yeah, I don't think they should involve the psychiatrist or therapist because everybody wants to kick his ass. Like, they just want to beat his ass.
They're like,
he keeps saying stupid shit.
let's make 4 Tupperware bins. You put the stuff you don't want in this bin and the stuff you do want in this bin.
If I didn't want it, I wouldn't have it, damn it.
And then there's nothing in the don't want bin, you know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely.
You stupid ass.
It's like, this is my collection. It's good stuff. I don't want it. I worked hard to get all this stuff. It's like, isn't there anything you want to get rid of? No.
No, I'm collecting it.
I would like to get rid of this therapist out of my house. Can I put you in the bin?
Like, the thing is with these shows is that you don't get to that point unless you want, you know, unless you're attached to this stuff. If you're not attached to it, you're doing like, you periodically go through and you get rid of stuff. Like Sean Rogers, who got rid of like all of his trades or whatever. And I'm taking like half of them.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm greedy. But, like, yeah, like, you don't get to this point unless you're really attached to whatever the thing is that you're collecting. Even if you're collecting 90s books, they don't have any, like, actual retail value anymore.
They have sentimental value.
Those are your books. You don't want to get rid of those. What they should have done is had, like, made a deal for, like, the stuff that's less important to him. He can scan all of it and, like, scan all of it digitally so he can hold on to it himself and then sell those copies. That would have made everybody happier. Not really, but It is a more creative solution than sell it or don't sell it.
There is that collector mentality, which I don't think either of you guys have, where you just gotta have it, even though there's some shit in there. I don't know. It's like a completist thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you're getting a series of books and then you had a shitty run and you say, I could get rid of that run, but then it would break up your full run, and it psychologically tells you, no, I shouldn't.
And you keep buying a book that you hate for years because you can't stop buying it.
Mm-hmm. Ah,
so frustrating. It's like, I just can't stop buying the book. Stop buying it. You don't like it. You're spending $3 or $4 a month on this thing that makes you want to kill things.
So what else did you read?
Oh, I don't know. I read comic books. I know I read a couple more like Marvel fanfare. Ooh, I know what I read. I read World War Hulk X-Men, because that was in the 10-cent bin. That wasn't even that long ago. Was it 2-3 years back?
I think it's more like four or five
years back. Good God.
It seems like it was just recent.
Yeah. Like, these events.
That was pretty good. That was Christos Gage, wasn't it?
Yeah, Christos Gage and something DeVito. Andrea DeVito on the art. It's a big, stupid story, like all of World War Hulk. Basically, this is just part of the thing where the Hulk is going to visit everyone who was part of the Illuminati, I guess, and making their lives miserable. And so, in these issues, Hulk is basically just a tour of the X-Universe, and the Hulk beats up everybody in it. So, he beats up everybody, and everyone gets hurt, and then he keeps beating up people, and then they bring in, like, X-Force and X-Factor, and they get their asses kicked, and then there's more X-Men, and they get their asses kicked. And then, like, he gets to the mansion, and one of the mutants is like, we're suffering too! Don't you see that we're suffering? First Rex is like, I beat myself up for this every day. And Hulk is like, oh, okay then, I'm not mad at you anymore. And then leaves. It's like, what the fuck? That's how most of the, like, World War Hulk miniseries end, though, is it's 2.5 issues of Hulk beating the shit out of people, and then someone telling Hulk that they feel really bad about it, and Hulk being like, okay, whatever, dude, and then he leaves. So, I definitely remember that part of it. But the art is really good, and it is fun, I guess, in a sort of, I'm glad I didn't pay $3, let me see, what's the, $3 for this sort of way. Like, in the, if I paid $3, or $9 total, it's a really shallow story, and you're like, oof, you know? But for 30 cents, or probably less, seeing as how I stacked the box full of stuff.
Were they $2.99? Or were they $2.50?
$2.99.
Huh.
$3.75 in Canada.
It's 2007.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, what? That was like 5 years ago.
What other Marvel fanfare did you read?
Let's see. I read a Daredevil story where Daredevil didn't do anything.
What do you mean he didn't do anything?
Like, legitimately, like, it's... I see if I can find it in this stack of stuff. Oh, no, I didn't bring it up. Oh, here it is. Put it back in the stupid wrapping. It's like a Daredevil story where Daredevil just kind of piles around doing what he did before Frank Miller made him really sad all the time.
What issue number?
Before Frank Miller? 27.
I don't think that was before Frank Miller.
Oh, it might have been...
1986.
Nope, it's after Frank Miller. But before the wholesale changes in Daredevil. Like, because there was a time where Matt Murdock wasn't a sad sack all the time. And then, like, a few years after Miller was done, they were like, you know what we got to do? That again, where we make Matt Murdock the most miserable human being alive. And that lasted for, like, a good 25 years.
Until Wade changed it a little bit.
Wade was like, you know what? He doesn't have to be miserable all the time. Let's see. Matt Murdock is in the courtroom being cool and blind and making, like, really awesome long legal speeches. And then he does the awesome thing that happens in the Marvel Universe where everyone catches, like, stowaway rides on helicopters. Like, he just takes this awesome baton stick thing that turns into a string and hitches a ride on a helicopter, which Spider-Man also does in this era quite a lot.
Billy Club.
Yeah, the Billy Club, which apparently doesn't get caught in any of the rotors of the helicopter, but just keeps going. And he does this a couple of times. And then he fights a bunch of people in a warehouse where they're like a chop shop. And there's cool scenes of dudes with blow torches getting their asses kicked. And he goes through a car, like he literally goes through a car wash on top of a car. It's clear why this story was canceled, because nothing happened. Like, I mean, things are happening, but it doesn't, like, none of it serves a purpose. It's like, we have cool action scenes that we can show with Daredevil. And they keep, what is this ad for?
Does it still have Weird World in there? In that issue? Those kids with the curly hair, those elves?
Not in this issue. No, this one...
You're obsessed, like, with Weird World, Mike.
I can send you all the Weird World issues I have.
He likes those creepy
little ones. I have the Weird World.
Let's see. Matt Murdock goes through a car wash, and then people get out of a car, and then Matt Murdock is hanging out with Foggy. That's it. Like, that's the entire... Like, there's actually not a point to... Like, he's not stopping a crime, really. He's just... I mean, I guess he is stopping a crime, but it's not like... There's no point to him. Like, it's not tied in with anything that's going on. He just kind of stops it. And that's the end of the story. Like, it's one of those things where it's fun to read, but I don't think... It's clear that these things were written, and then someone was like, you know what, we don't really need that today. But there's an ad for something, and I don't know what it is. McCloud's Mutants? What is this?
I never heard of it.
I should take pictures of it or something, and I'll just scan them in and show people. Like, it's an ad, it just says McCloud's Mutants. Oh, wait, it's just Bob McCloud drawing pictures of mutants.
Oh.
Okay, I was so confused as to what was going on. Because it's like, in this era, there are ads for things, and there's ads for other comics, and they just break into your story. But because they use, especially like the Marvel House-style books, like, there'll be an ad, and the ad will have the exact same art, basically, as what's going on in the book you're reading. And there's nothing that tells you it's an ad until like the next page where you're like, oh, this is an ad for another book, and then it keeps going again, and you're like, oh no. But this one is just Bob McCloud pictures of mutants punching sentinels and flying and stuff. And then there's a second story where Spider-Man is antsy, and that's all the story's about, is Spider-Man wanting to do shit but having nothing to do and being really upset about it. And, like, flipping around and throwing telephones and scaring old ladies and talking to cops for no reason. Like, just scaring cops on the streets and talking to them. And then he's on the phone and calls J. Jonah Jameson for fun. Like, just calls him up. Like, hey, how you doing? So, yeah. Like, it's a real... Like, this whole series is a really weird series because it's full of these, like, throwaway stories that...
Yeah, that's what I think Marvel Fanfare was. It was like... It was amazing, the more I read, like, Back Issue magazine, how much of those stories were done. I mean, it's not a bit funny. It's like...
It's kind of sad.
The artist and the writer, they'd get paid, but their book would never come out, and then it'd come out 2 or 3 years later. So, yeah, it was interesting. I was reading this article in Back Issue magazine number 35 on Mike Volsberg because I was like, wow, his art looks pretty freaking awesome. And he had done things like Twilight Zone and Boris Karloff and House of Mystery and ISIS and Secret Society of Supervillains and She-Hulk and Miss Marvel and Team America. And he said his Miss Marvel issues, like, he had done, like, right, he had, Stan Lee, this was an interesting story. Stan Lee called him up on the phone personally. He was working for DC at the time. And he says, I really love your work. I want you to come down and work for Marvel because you'd work really well over here. And he got him all motivated. You know how Stan Lee is.
Yeah.
So he goes to Marvel and starts working there. And then he finally runs into Stan Lee and hears Stan Lee, as you know, they depart. He hears Stan Lee say, remind me to find out who this Mike Volsberg is. You know, like he had called him and told him to come work for Marvel. And then he's like, who the hell is this guy?
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was freaking interesting as hell. And then he did that Starfire series. I don't know if you ever run across it. It was in the 70s called Starfire. Obviously, it was, I think it was like 8 issues or 6 issues. And that was the first Starfire. It was like a barbarian woman. He did all of that. So, yeah, he seems like he's an interesting guy. And then he got out of comics. He did some Master of Kung Fu, too. Like, you know that magazine, that, you know, Deadly Hands of Kung
yeah,
Fu?
Yeah, I have some of those.
Yeah, you might want to pull those out. See if you have number 9. I'd like to see it because the art is looks really awesome.
All right.
Yeah.
I will go look for that. Not right now, but
yeah,
later.
I know. He did some Marvel premiere. He did a lot of cool work. And then he said he went and worked in the G.I. Joe cartoon for a while. That's when he started making money, he said. Yeah, there was a lot more money in, you know, outside of comics. Even though his passion was in comics, he made a lot more money. He also did some American Flag, which I thought was interesting because I thought Chaykin... I never read American Flag. Have you guys?
I have some of it, but I've never read it.
I've only read some of it. The first couple issues.
I thought Chaykin drew the whole thing, but I guess he obviously didn't.
I know he did. I think he did the early on stuff, but maybe later.
And he also has some work with Archer and Armstrong and Bloodshot, and I never saw his work. You know what I mean? Or never paid attention.
Vosberg?
Yeah, Vosberg.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of him. And yeah, he did some Valiant stuff, I think.
He made a lot of money in Tales from the Crypt doing storyboards for that HBO series, and he did the storyboards for Narnia, you know, the Narnia movies.
Oh, wow.
So he seemed like a really interesting guy, and he had a lot of, I mean, his artwork is really good, especially when he draws women. He draws women really good. And but he doesn't have a lot of work. I mean, there's not a lot of work out there. But I am going to seek it out. I'm loving Back Issue Magazine. God, it's like from the time period that I'm interested in.
So are you new to Back Issue, or have you been reading it all?
I had started and then left, and then I'm back again.
Because it seems like it's right up your alley.
Yeah, it is. I was even getting Alter Ego, but that one's not up my alley because it's kind of golden age, and I've never been able attached to that period. Right. I mean, I need to learn a little bit more about it. I wouldn't mind it, but it seemed very flat in the golden age. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it.
Look, I have a complete run of X-Men and the Micronauts. By complete run, I mean like the entire 4-issue miniseries.
Ah, maybe you ought to jump on that next.
I think I will jump on this next. Oh, dude, it has the arrows to tell you how to read the book. How great is that?
What,
like,
do you mean, in between panels?
Yeah, it has like the arrows pointing to where you should read next.
I wonder if I have that. I have number 1 of 4. Not surprising.
I have all 4.
Who the fuck is Ariel?
I also, okay, speaking of World War Hulk, I also read World War Hulk Gamma Corps, which is 4 issues instead of 3 issues, and has the exact same storyline as all the other ones. That's why I remember it being so boring, because I read both of these at the same time, basically. And so this one, instead of fighting the X-Men, who we know and love, he's fighting the Gamma Corps, which is a bunch of people we've never heard of before.
I think that's why I liked that one, because that was a bunch of like people that got together that were irradiated with gamma rays.
Right.
Yeah.
But instead of being the Hulk, they're all kind of weird looking and
they're all deformed and shit. But it was interesting. You had some smart guys, some strong guys, and
right. So there was this whole thing, and then of course, like Hulk, I think kills one of them or something like that, or a few people die throughout the series, and then near the very end, like, Hulk is getting ready to kill this girl, and she's like, "Go ahead and kill me, you bastard. You've already killed the only person in the world I care about." And he was like, "Oh, I'm sorry," and then jumps away. I'm like, wow, I can't believe that happened twice in a row.
Yeah.
But I think it happens in all the series. Oh, look, it's raining outside. I think it happens in all the series. So.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff at this Baltimore Con, but it was all free, like a lot of stuff. Because I went...
People just had it out on their tables, so I just...
Yeah, they had it on the tables. They didn't see a price tag.
They didn't seem to mind when I walked off with it. I don't understand. Yeah. No,
when I ran off.
Like, the sticker said $20, but that was on the one issue. The other issue didn't have a price tag on it, so I just grabbed those instead.
Baltimore, only...
Yeah, how's Baltimore?
It only runs 2 days, like, other than other cons that run, like, three days or more. It only is Saturday and Sunday.
That's actually not bad at all, especially for this time of the year.
So Friday night was interesting because me and Barb were, you know, doing the speedboat and all the things at the pier, and then got a call from Rock and Daryl, and they were like, "We're gonna go to Chris Campbell's house." So they gave us a ride to Chris Campbell's house, which was like another con in itself. I mean, Chris Campbell's got like this awesome man cave with like all this original art and shit. And it's an amazing display. Like that is what a collection should look like. And he even manages his collection good. Like he's like the good collector. He focuses on what he really likes and then gets rid of what he wanted to read. But if he's never mm-hmm. going to read it again, he gets rid of it.
Good on him.
So there were like boxes. Well, the Star Joe's guys showed up there, and who else was there? Oh, Rock brought boxes. So there's all this boxes of free stuff.
On him.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about just free comics. There was hardcovers. Bill would have loved it because they had some indie stuff. You know that Marvel run that had all those indie creators? It was like Strange Tales or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
He had both hardcovers of that for free.
Oh,
so I grabbed those.
I like those.
And then he had some, like, he had Judge Dredd number one by Brian Boland and I think it was John Wagner, and I picked that up. That was cool. I picked up a bunch of Fantastic Four issues and a couple stuff that everything that I was focused on was old shit. Like, I have all the new stuff. Mm-hmm. So I even got a Jeffrey Brown book. I forget what it was called, but it was a nasty one. Well, I opened it up to a page, and he's like laying there naked, and this girl is like, he tells the girl, "I bet you never done that before, or never done this before," and so she's like below, you know, in his genital. What am I going to say? By his penis. By his penis.
There you go. That's the right word to use.
That's a better word to use. And, but she wasn't down there. She was even below there. And you're like, what is she doing? And she was fingering his asshole. And then she comes back up and she licks her finger. And I'm like, what the hell?
Oh,
sexy.
Yeah, it's like that's a top shelf book there.
Absolutely.
So I'll have to read that and review it at some point.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. But that Judge Dredd was cool how it opened up. I didn't realize like Judge Death was like right off the bat on number one.
So that was like the for Judge Dredd number one.
This is the one,
like, I think, Dark Horse.
This was Eagle Comics. This is okay. When they started to reprint things in the States.
Okay.
From two.
So is it like the very first Judge Dredd story, or just the first one that they?
It's the first one that they published. I don't think it's the first Judge Dredd story, but it had like Anderson, who's the side judge. She could like read minds and shit like that. So right off the bat, you had all those characters. And it was interesting because Anderson had to go into... Judge Death was just killing everybody. Like, he was the law, and he was killing even, you know, the judges and stuff like that. So the way they took him out is they had Anderson go, you know, he went into Anderson's body, and then they encased her body in, like, this plastic stuff, and she could never get out. And so she's out of the picture at the end of issue one. It just has really cool ideas, like people living forever, but they're not really living forever. It's like if you had money, you could have yourself embalmed or encased in stuff and then be able to come back, woken up during certain parts of your life. But you're still in a coffin, so I don't understand why you'd want that. But it was a really cool story.
There's a Boland one, you said?
Brian Boland.
Yeah. I know in previews they're soliciting a trade for a bunch of Bolin
Judge Dredd issues.
Yeah, and if I would have known that he was at the con, I would have got it signed. Because you could get tickets and get him to sign stuff.
Oh, he was there?
Yeah, he was.
Wow.
This is a pretty beat up copy, but it would have just been for shits and giggles anyway. Because then I could say, hey, I have a signed Brian Bolan Judge Dredd comic. And the Fantastic Four issues I actually read, and they were all good. They were like from 1977, 78 time frame. And I learned a lot of stuff that I should have known, but I didn't know. Like, I guess one of these comics was like during the time when Ben Grimm was healed, and Reed made him armor that had the thing, like he was in the thing armor. So that I thought that was pretty crazy. And what else happened? Oh, the Destroyer, you know, that the one that was in the Thor movies and the Thor character, mm-hmm. is actually he worked for Galactus. He was a herald at one time. Didn't know that. But there's a lot of cool stuff that I learned in here, and a lot of funky ads. Cool ads. I like this stuff.
I know you do.
Well, they tried to guide your occupation, and back. They tried to give you jobs doing crazy ass shit. I mean, it was.
Or teach you kung fu.
Yeah, teach you kung fu. Be taller. You could get taller if you wanted.
You get all the way buffed out.
I always like looking at them because when I was young, like most probably young kids when they're reading comics, you always stop and look at those ads selling all those like cheap little, you know, X-ray specs and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So I always look at that and remember like when I was a kid looking at this stuff. And back then, when you're a kid, you're like amazed by that stuff. But now it's like.
Yeah, I always was amazed by the back ads of those war, like get these war army figures.
Oh, the like 50,000 yeah. army men or whatever.
And it would say you get 12 tanks, 5 cannons. And then you'd open the box. The box was like about 6 inches by 4 inches high. And the figures were like flat. Like they didn't even have 3-dimensional feel to right. them. You're like, what the fuck is this? The tanks were bigger than the people. Or the people were bigger than the tanks. The tanks were just like really tiny. You're like, what am I going to do with this?
When I was a kid, I was in the era of you have to buy some shit and then cut something out and send it in to get stuff. Like no more of this paying money for cheap bullshit toys. No, you have to pay money to buy other stuff to then get some cheap bullshit toys afterwards. So I never got anything out of comic book stuff when I was a kid. Because my parents were not about to like go around cutting off like out of the boxes from Kool-Aid and shit that we didn't drink anyway. So things changed over the course of years.
And during these Fantastic Four issues, the other thing that was interesting was, I guess Sue was off taking care of Franklin, so you know Medusa was on there on the team. Using her hair. There was a lot of cool things. Issue 157 was fantastic. It was like when Doom had captured the Silver Surfer, transferred some cosmic powers to this droid called the Doomsman. But he also was manipulating the Silver Surfer because he said he brought his love back to life. What was her name? Shira. I can't remember what her name is. But it's pretty popular if you know Silver Surfer. And he found out later that it was fake, but it wasn't fake. That's what's weird. She was really on Earth, and Mephisto had brought her down. Doom and Silver Surfer didn't think she was real. They just thought she was a peasant girl from Latveria, but she really was Shira Ba or whatever her name was. And Mephisto had made her forget all her memories, so the Silver Surfer's woman was alive. That was crazy. There's all this crazy shit in these books that I didn't like realize really happened. It's good stuff. High Evolutionary was in one of them. We had just talked about him last.
Was he making a cow into a person?
No, like, not in this one. Oh. He had made a golden ape.
Sounds like a bastard.
Yeah, he just likes to
leave these poor animals alone. What do they do to you?
So, yeah, these are some good issues. And you can make money, get prizes by selling shit. There was one ad that I wanted to bring up, but man, I cannot find it. It was the most weird shit I've ever seen. It was like how to hypnotize women and stuff.
Oh, that's not creepy at all.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell is this? What are you trying to do here? It's like...
Yeah, I never sent in for any of those...
How to hypnotize women.
Well, yeah, that too. No, but the ones where you had to, you could order like a catalog and then you could sell stuff, and depending upon how many calendars or whatever you sold, you could get.
Yeah, you could get baseball gloves or points, all that.
It always seemed like the stuff you could get for points was like a lot of work for not much prize. So
yeah, it was grit and there was other grit. Things like that. American seed.
American seed?
That's what they called it.
Oh.
Basically child labor.
This is fucked up. This isn't even grit. Grit was a magazine you'd sell and you get stuff. This one was like, you could win prizes by selling American seeds. So you'd sell like sweet peas and radish and shit like that. You know how they sell seeds in those little paper packets?
Yeah.
That's what this was. You'd go door to door selling these and you'd get some free shit.
It's free child labor.
You could get a volleyball set, chemistry sets, if you wanted to develop something.
Transistor radio, I remember that was.
Complete archery sets, a cassette tape recorder. Yeah. 4-player badminton, a telescope, all kinds of pocket calculator, roller derby skates. So there were some good prizes there if you sell some seed.
Sell your seed.
Hypnotize the women. It said it was like free too. It was weird. It was like, send away this because you basically take them in front of a TV and you turn it to a certain channel.
It sounds astronomically fucked up.
It does. That's why I wanted to find it. I want to put it in the show notes if I could find the damn thing.
You find the ad. The ads I have right now are for, let's see, free Spider-Man collector's cards inside specially marked packages of Kool-Aid Burst, which were those like individually packaged, like, Kool-Aid bottle things.
Mm-hmm.
Those are weird. And then an ad that says, how do you turn a bunch of nerds into superheroes? Turn the box around. See, because you see, there were nerds, and then on the back of the box be, like, a trading card of a superhero that you had to cut off the box, but only after you ate all the nerds.
I just remember being on the plane and me showing Barb all these ads. I can't remember which ones that I had that switchblade comb. I sent away for that. Okay. In elementary school, I thought I was the cool dude. You know, like, you better not mess with me. I got a switchblade comb. I could comb my hair with a blade. Yeah.
So you're like, that's what you hold it out threateningly and... And then the comb comes out, and then you coolly comb your hair.
And then you comb your hair, yeah. Today you'd get shot, or you'd be you'd be sent home and suspended. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You'd be in the principal's office. You had a comb that
switched. You won't be able to get it past the metal detectors on your way into school, anyway.
That's right. A lot of coin ads, like if you wanted to get an Indian Lincoln cent. He's selling 1,000 of them for... You have to pay a buck for a penny. I don't understand that. It might be worth a lot now. Who knows? Collector intervention. The be taller ones I would go for. I would like to be taller. At least 6 foot.
I wonder what they would send you for that one.
I have no idea.
Like, is it just a book where you think about being taller and then eventually you'll get taller?
Or it tells you stilts. To eat vegetables or get platform shoes?
A diet of stilts. They send you a rack so that you will
stretch you.
Stretch your body out.
Or maybe they put something
like calcium and stuff.
You could put in your doorway and just hang from it.
Yeah.
For 6 hours a day. I bet you there's just lifts you put in your shoe. There, you're taller.
It probably is. 2 inches taller or something like that.
If that. Quarter inch taller. Haha, we gotcha.
Yep, and you look at the fine print. All they said was they'll make you taller.
Oh, I found that ad. It said, hypnotize with any TV set, first evening or money back. Television repairman accidentally discovered makes someone a hypnotized right away. Secret method, use ordinary TV set, no electronic, no knowledge needed, no prior hypnotic training needed, send no money, just name and address, pay postman, COD, postage. So you can actually get to hypnotize. And this one is freaking awesome. Enjoy exciting romantic look, impressive anytime. They basically send you a mustache, a Van Dyke. You could send a sample of your hair, and they basically send you accessories to match, and then you could put them on your face, like sideburns and shit. What the hell? Who would send away for that? I would like to see. It says, send for mustache, sideburns, and a Van Dyke all at once. Any color you want. Just grow your own. And if you're a kid, why would you want that?
So you can be cool like all the older kids who have mustaches.
I don't know. If I could like not have to shave, I think that would be awesome.
Well, that's now. As an adult that has to shave. God, it's annoying. But
did you
when you're younger and you can't shave.
Did you want to grow a mustache? And
no, I actually didn't because my facial hair came in a little. Because I was younger than the rest of my classmates. So, like, I saw what the other kids looked like with their bullshit with two mustaches. And was like, no thanks. I'm good on that.
So what else did you guys read, Bill?
Wait, you got to tell us how... You didn't tell us about the actual convention.
Oh, the convention itself. Well, Friday night was the Chris Campbell convention, which was awesome because everybody was drinking, there was lots of beer, and there was wings and all kinds of food and chips and all that shit available. And I met a lot of people that like I had, like Hassan from Comic Book Page, you know, like I hadn't ever met him before, but met him.
Yeah, it's actually good that you got a chance to meet people before the con. So then...
yeah, like Rob Anderson, he's usually at cons selling his stuff. This time he wasn't, but I had a blast talking to him about all these ads in the old comics because he's a very Bronze Age guy too. Yeah. So yeah, it was a blast on Friday. That's what we did, and then on Saturday was the con, and that the con was pretty damn awesome. I actually was healthy the whole time. I haven't gotten the crud yet. So it was a really good con. I didn't spend a hell of a lot, but I did a lot. You know what I mean? There was a lot to do.
That's a good con.
Mm-hmm.
So who'd you see?
Trigger-wise. I talked a lot with Jim Calafiore, and I got an awesome Deadshot. Drawing from him. That was the thing that costed me the most. That was where I paid for that. And then Dwanch and all the Action Lab guys, I hung out with them. And what else did I? Oh, I got to meet Dysart, Joshua Dysart. And he was laughing his ass off when I said, Corn Boy! He's like, yeah, Corn Boy. And I saw that you tweeted it and he replied.
Yeah, he replied.
He said, yeah, he went Corn Boy, Corn Boy! So that was cool, because Dysart is, like, really nice dude. I mean, he's, like, super nice. And he's one of my favorite writers, so he's doing Harbinger now. He was in the Valiant booth. And I bought two more Harbingers, and he had signed them and customized the signatures. It was pretty cool. In the Thought Bubbles, instead of Harbinger, he'd cross that out, put Mike and all this cool stuff. But I got to meet Eric Powell, and I really wanted to buy a piece from him. I am a huge Goon fan. I mean, that book brings me so much joy every month, and I know a lot of people hate on him, but I don't care. It makes me happy. I don't care if he hates superheroes.
All he said was people should support independent books, right?
Yeah, and the way he said it, people took it the wrong way because they don't the Goon, and they don't understand what I don't think is he makes fun of shit every month. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't hold back on anything. He just makes fun of it. So I think he just took what he believes to a little bit of an extreme and offended a lot of people.
Yeah, but he got in the news, so.
Yeah, but he was really cool, and I bought the Modern Masters Tomorrow's Publishing Eric Powell edition, had him signed it, and did a sketch in there.
That's cool.
And I actually bought it from Tomorrow's and took it over to him, and he signed it. I wanted to buy a page, but a lot of the new creators now, they have the credit card things on their phones, but he doesn't. Mm-hmm. So it's like they were really expensive. They were like 300 or higher, but
yeah, I was gonna say that they had to be at least 200-300 for his.
But a lot of them were like he rendered everything on that panel. Do you know what I mean? And even colored it. So.
Oh really?
Yeah. So it's like
when he renders a page like fully rendered, damn, that's nice stuff too.
Oh my god, the detail and the line is just amazing. So that it was cool to meet him. And Dan DiDio, I got to meet him, and one of the things that I got was really cool was Mike Betzel. I call him M-Bats. He did a OMAC shirt for me, and on one side it's got like a Kirby OMAC on the front, and then on the back it says OMACtivate, and Dan DiDio signed it for me.
Well, that is kind of badass.
Yeah, he loved it too. He was like, "That's awesome."
I don't think I've seen pictures of that.
It should be out there.
I'd have to crawl through Facebook to find it, though.
Yeah, I put all the Baltimore pictures out there. I should post it.
I'm bad at Facebook these days.
I like their new upload. It's fast as hell. Like, if you're to upload from your camera or whatever, mm-hmm. it uploads fast and lets you tag as it's uploading, so.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I just, like, as a user, I'm like an old person now. I go on Facebook. I'm just like, I can't find anything anymore.
Yeah, the timeline kind of sucks. I don't like that. But, yeah, Saturday night, what did we do? We hung out with the Star Joes had, like, you know, those big old plastic picnic things full of alcohol? They had and we were all in a room, and there was a lot of liquor. We couldn't matter trying to get Keith to leave because we were like, you know, Rock and Daryl were leaving early on Sunday, so we were like trying to get Keith to leave, and it was like, oh, look at all this good stuff. That was fun. I like laughed my ass off. My stomach was hurting the next day because I laughed so much, but that was a lot of fun. So hung out with the Star Joes then. And then Sunday was kind of just hanging out at the con and then eating and all that stuff. Went to a couple panels, the DC panel. That was cool. There was a controversial thing that happened there that Twitter went all a flutter right after it because Capullo said something about booty call and caused a bunch of controversy with Bleeding Cool. I guess there was a Bleeding Cool representative in there that didn't like what he said, and there was all kinds of lawyer talk on the Twitters, and like, I'm not going to say anything because we're filing a different, you know, a lawsuit or whatever. Like, what the hell? And then Keith got a free DC Universe Presents from Dan DiDio for asking a question, and he gave it to me and got that signed. It was an OMAC issue. So that was cool. And then I went to the IDW panel. I went to the Joe Kubert tribute panel. That was awesome. They had Tim Truman there, Paul Levitz, the guy who does Love and Capes, two other guys I didn't know, but, you know, went to the Kirby School. And that one you learned a lot about his wife, his history, and all kinds of stuff. It was really interesting. There just wasn't a lot of people there. I thought there'd be a lot of people going to see, especially because Cooper had just passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But me and Keith went to that. We went to an IDW panel. Some cool stuff. It was a lot of fun. And we were up every night till 1 a.m., 2 a.m. every night. And the hotel we stayed at was really cool because they had a club level, and it was open 24/7, and they had computers in there and all that kind of crap, and they had food and drinks. So you definitely get your money's worth getting that because, you get the midnight munchies and you go get some sodas, and sodas usually in the vending machines are $2-3, and you can get all you can drink. So that was awesome.
Free stuff down there?
Yeah.
What was the, what chain is it?
Sheraton.
Okay.
But you have to pay for those. Keith got a really good deal for his because they had this thing with, if you lived in Virginia, it was like a Virginia discount or something. You could get a room for $99 a night. So he really got a good deal. And then you got free breakfast in the morning. They had juice and eggs and all that good stuff. That was cool.
I love the hotels with the free breakfast.
Oh, yeah. And I liked it afterwards. Daryl and Keith are obsessed with Marvel Alliance. So, after we get back, from wherever we're at, they always hop on the computer.
Or they go play Marvel Alliance.
Marvel Alliance, yeah.
Wow.
But it was a great con. I got a Dave Dwanch OMAC. That was another sketch I got. Didn't buy a lot of comics, but I got two $5 trades. I got the iVampire trade for $5. Not the new iVampire, but the Andrew Bennett stories that DeMatteis wrote back in House of Mystery or whatever it was in. I got the reprints of that, which I was happy to get for $5. And then I got a Joe Kubert book about, what is it, Jew Gangster? Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
I read that, and that was pretty good. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I don't know anything about it, though.
Yeah, if you like the Mafia type Sopranos and stuff, you'd love it. And if you like Joe Kubert art, you'd really love it. Some black and white. It's pretty awesome. But that's it for the con. We had a good time, took a lot of pictures, hung out with Daryl and Keith and the
Sounds like fun.
Star Joe guys and Barb and Alan, of course, and M-Bats. And there was a lot of free stuff.
Cool. And it sounds like there were some pretty decent people there too, guests.
Yeah, there was a lot of...
Hey, for you, I mean, you had some of your favorite writers there, so...
I didn't even know Nightstar was going to be there. I was like, damn it, Barb, why couldn't you be here so I could take a picture with him? But I...
Man, if you had known, you could have brought Cornboy.
I know. The Valiant booth was cool. I got a Valiant shirt. It was the exclusive Baltimore shirt, but it has the new V.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Valiant fan, so I was stoked to get that.
Yeah, I still need to get a Valiant shirt.
I have two Valiant shirts. I had one when they were going through the lawsuit, an unofficial one, right before they released the Harbinger hardback. I think that was the first one that came out the gate.
So the that's like a different Valiant, right?
No, it's still Valiant Entertainment, but they had this shirt. But I don't know if it was done by them. I think it was done by fans and they let it happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It had the word beginning spelled wrong in the back of the shirt.
That is awesome.
But I still have that shirt. So I have the two Valiant shirts. One has Harbinger on it, and this one's a really cool because it's totally black and has the V in the front. It says Valiant.
Yeah.
Supposed to be exclusive to the con, but
hey, Valiant announced the XO trade paperback.
Oh, did they?
$10.
Oh, the XO, though, they've already released the hardcover, haven't they? Or are you talking about the new one?
Wait, no, the new one.
Old stuff.
Oh. The new. They haven't. It hasn't been solicited yet, but they announced it's coming.
That's cool.
Yeah. So everyone should get on that.
Speaking of things that are coming out, DC is releasing an omnibus of 52. Like the big thing. I'm probably going to get it. For like $180,000.
They are releasing a lot of omnibuses that are very tempting, like the Teen Titans Jeff Johns run. I really like that. They're releasing the, man, they have such good ones, but I've told myself if I have it in one form, unless it's OMAC, I don't.
You're not going to double dip.
Yeah, if it's not OMAC or Valiant, I'm not going to double dip.
See, I sold 52, so.
Such 52 is awesome. I'm starting to miss the old universe, to tell you the truth. I mean, I'm finding some gems. I'm finding some gems in the new 52, but a lot of it's the obscure stuff. The stuff that doesn't sell.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't have a problem with the new whatever. I'm just not, like... There are distinct things that aren't there that I wish were there. Yeah. So.
And then I got, you know how Bill does the right thing, like he'll do the one issue trial, and if he doesn't like it, he doesn't get it. But the problem with getting books like that, when I try it, is like you can't cancel the pre-order, you know, if you pre-ordered two or three more, depending on when you read it.
Right.
So I originally canceled Ferrest, you know, it was the Fables.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. Yeah, I read that.
And I didn't like issue one, and I didn't care for issue two, but damn it, I read three and four, because those were the last two that I ordered, and I was like, damn, I want to buy this again. But luckily, I ordered it for Barb, so I'm just going to read it and trade.
Yeah, I ordered the trade. Yeah, I read the first two issues of Ferris. You didn't like the first two issues? I liked them.
Oh, I thought it really sold me with three and four, like the Alibaba and that little... What is it? An imp that's flying around, grounding
him. Yeah, the imp.
Supposedly, yeah. He's like a storyteller, and they
didn't like the. I like the second issue when they're because they're on the run, and then all the what are those ice monsters are coming after them.
Yeah, I really like the third and fourth. Those are the ones that sold me on the series.
Cool. I like the first two a lot.
But Phil Jimenez's art in these are so damn nice.
Yeah, he's killing it.
I mean, it's like, if you had one of these pages, it would just look beautiful on the wall. But yeah, I've been thumbing through the latest previews, and he's not drawing it anymore.
He's off after the first arc. Maybe we'll come back
who's
later.
Who's drawing the new stuff?
Well, he might be taking a break, because I think he takes a while. He renders so much detail in his drawing that he's like George Perez. He always reminds me of George Perez. So, like, if the hair is really detailed, stuff like that.
George Perez makes it hard to read other books afterwards, like, sometimes.
Here. Like,
what's up?
You can go ahead.
Maybe I was just saying, like, whenever I read a George Perez book, and then there's all that detail everywhere, and you go to read something else that just isn't, as good, you're like, God. Why didn't George Perez just draw everything in the Marvel Universe for like 20 years?
I did pick up.
Well, here, before you do that,
okay.
I happen to have a previews near me. I think it was like not the current one, maybe the month
one before.
But and it has Ferris number 9, and this is what surprised me. So the art's by Inkari Miranda. I don't know who that is, but it's written by Lauren Bukes.
Yeah, it's like not Willingham anymore either.
That's the thing that threw me off more than the artist. I was like, wait a second. I don't know if I want to get it if it's not Willingham.
Well, you would have waited for trade anyway, and I'm sure you'll hear something about it, right?
Yep. I thought it was interesting.
That's the benefit to doing what you're doing.
To the waiting.
You don't get burned either way, because if you hear good things about something you didn't like in issue one, and then you're curious about it, you get the trade, right?
Yeah.
But if
I mean, you could do that for the singles too, if it's something that, because you could order number one and then wait for it and then read it and then add it to your order.
That is true, because DCBS is really good about that.
Yeah, and as long as it's not something that's super hot and super limited, then they'll be able to add it onto your order, no problem.
There was one creator out there that did a Kickstarter, and one of the guys I follow on the Twitter said, you should go check her out. Her name is Rachel Deering, and she wrote Anathema, and it was a Kickstarter, and it was really good. It's actually about, like, you know, when they used to burn people at the stake, that type of time frame. And they were going to burn this one girl because she was a lesbian, because she was having sex with another woman, and you couldn't do that back in the day. But they only caught one of the women. The other one got away, but she was watching as the other one was burning. And she was like, I can't believe I let this happen or whatever, and, you know, all this stuff. And then some, like, dark entities take the soul of the woman before she fully burns, and she wants to go rescue that woman's soul, but in order to do that, she has to go to, like, a sorcerer type person, and it turns her into a werewolf. So she's like a werewolf right now. But I really enjoyed it, and the art is by somebody I've never heard of, Chris Mooneyham, but it's really dark and it's really good for a horror comic, and the colors are really nice. So she has two issues out right now. The only thing I don't like about investing in these things is because I never know when number three will ever come out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you get those digitally or?
No, I got them from her booth at Baltimore.
Oh, okay. She was at Baltimore.
Yeah, I had them signed, and I have a picture of her on my Facebook page because I took a picture of her.
So are you going to be able to get it even though you didn't back up the Kickstarter? Or?
Oh, yeah. Every time they have a Kickstarter, they have their stuff. Like,
well, right, but sometimes I don't know if they, like, ran out or something like that, or if she's...
Did you hear about Simone's and California's Kickstarter? $100,000 they made. That just sounds insane.
Not terribly surprising.
But they asked for 40 and they made 60 more.
Yeah, but it's, I mean,
people love Gail Simone. I think it's just her attitude and the way she presents herself.
Yeah.
She's got a huge following.
Mm-hmm. Man, there's one. There's like a iDraw Comics, I think it is, which is, it's like a size of like a Moleskine book, and it's basically like a how to draw book, but in it they have like grids where you can actually do the drawing in the book, and I think they're up to like over $200,000.
Yep.
Damn.
And they're just like independent comic guys who are bringing out the book too. It's like, man, sometimes some of these just hit, and when they hit, they go crazy.
Yeah. So, Bill, you've read some stuff, right?
I have. I was actually at not my own convention. I actually went to a convention myself this previous weekend.
A
beautiful Holiday Inn.
Ah, I love these things.
Holiday Inn with long boxes.
Yes. And, well, this is one I've gone to several times over the years, but they stopped having them because they closed down the hotel they were doing the shows at and renovated it. I think it was actually something else, and then Holiday Inn bought it, and they completely renovated it. And then they were going to have a show, but then there was apparently a fire in the hotel, so they canceled it, and then it was like another 6 months before they had another one. So this is the first one in probably a couple of years that they've had there. And the room it was in, it used to be like this little tiny, like musky smelling hotel room, not hotel room, but like whatever they're called, meeting room. Mm-hmm. But now that they've renovated it, it was like this, probably like twice as big, at least twice as big, higher ceilings. It was really nice, actually, the room it was in. And they seem to have more dealers, too, than they had in past years. So it was actually pretty nice. I was actually pretty impressed by it. I mean, it's not huge or anything. It's nothing compared to a big show. There was like one guy there who had some art that wasn't very good. And then there was a couple girls who...
Well, art is subjective, so...
True. It might have been very good to some people.
I think people can more agree on story than art. I think.
Yeah. Well, no.
Like, it's anything all variable.
Yeah, anything that's more mainstream, I think people agree on. But once you get to the boundaries, then that's when you have opinions.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of women selling some book they wrote there, which I didn't talk to them because I'm always afraid, like, I'll end up having to buy the book if I talk to them.
It's always my fear for these things.
Micah always walks away with a stack of stuff, and I'm like, what did you get?
I don't even know. She was sad. She just looked so sad, damn it. What am I supposed to do? But yeah, no, it's... Don't talk to anybody. You go to the con, just walk away.
I've gotten better, because cons have turned into something totally different for me than they used to be. It's more like hanging out with friends and stuff and getting together than spending money anymore.
Yeah. But at a big con, I mean, I'll talk to... I guess if they're selling just like a comic, I don't mind, like, if I'm not interested, like, saying, okay, thanks. It's always weird, though. Yeah. Like, they give you your spiel and you're like, and you look through it and you're like, this doesn't look very good. Then you're like, all right, thanks.
Yeah, like, I don't want to, like, crush their soul, but it's like, your shit sucks. Like... Get out of here.
Well, just say I don't think what you're doing is for me. I mean, it's not...
No. That's you say your shit sucks and walk out.
I don't usually do that. I just say, that's not something I usually get into.
I'd say thanks and walk away. I don't want to get into an argument about it.
Oh, I don't get in an argument, but sometimes I want to hear a spiel, because sometimes there's some...
Yeah, you never know.
There's some indie gems in there that... You'll never know about if you don't stop by and start talking, right? I mean, I found some shit that I really like, and it's because I do that. But I don't feel like... I think I'm getting old. I don't feel bad anymore, like, just saying, no, I'm not going to buy your stuff.
I'm not quite there yet. In a little bit, I will be. But as of right, I'm still like, maybe not.
You're still young. You feel guilty.
So I didn't check that, but I did get some good stuff. So they had tons of so at this show, it's a mixture of like dealers who have like local comic shops or whatever, and then people selling like their old collections. There's some of those, which, and from one of them I actually got, he had a bunch of like old like Silver Age stuff. Mike, you would have been good to be with me there to tell me what was a reasonable price and what was not. That's a problem when I go to these. I just don't know. And I don't have a phone that can tell me how much stuff's worth.
Oh, you got to move to the future, dude.
I need them for these cons. But I did pick up OMAC.
Yes, I saw that. I need to put that in the show notes.
Nothing else, just that.
Which I got to say, the... cover to OMAC number one is just an awesome cover.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Did you see my new Facebook logo that somebody did? They took the Build-A-Friend and put my face right in there. Did you see that?
Yeah, so the cover to this is, it's mostly text. It has OMAC One Man Army, and then it has a picture of, has a white background, and then it's OMAC throwing a Build-A-Friend. And then it says, a starting look into the world that's coming.
We'll be your friend. They're really fucking bombs. That's what they are. They're really like to blow shit up. The Build-A-Friend concept's so fucking awesome. It's these sexy women that you could build, and they'll be your friend, but they have a bomb in them.
And OMAC was friends with one of them.
Yeah.
Buddy was. So I read it, and I completely enjoyed it. So,
oh, there you go. I love OMAC. There's something about the art, and there's something about the story that, science fiction-wise, it's like, I don't know, it seems above it, way above its time at the time it came out.
It's very, like, kind of Twilight Zone-esque almost.
Oh, yeah.
This is the future that could happen.
Love that. There's a collection of OMAC, you know that.
Yeah, I added it to my DCBS order for
nice
this month, so I will soon have the collection.
It's very fulfilling. Like, if you enjoyed the other OMAC, you know, the trade you just read, I think you're gonna really like the old stuff.
And of course, the art is phenomenal.
Yeah. There's that one scene where he's like walking at the bottom of an ocean with all those weird looking fish and shit that are just in the dirt. I just fucking love that scene. He's got like those ski things on. Do you know what I mean? In this, he's walking on that post-apocalyptic bottom of the ocean, and oh shit, so good.
Then I got a bunch of quarter bin comics, which I got some good stuff like to fill in. I got some X-Men to fill in some like old holes and some 80s stuff. Then I picked up, I think it's like 1 through, I'm not sure. Let's see, 10 or 7 or yeah, 8. 1 through 8 of Asylum from Maximum Press, which was the, I missed out on this when it came out. I think it was like in the 90s, but I think it was Rob Liefeld's.
Yeah, Maximum.
Anthology series.
But I just don't remember the title, Asylum. That's weird.
And I only got it because one of the stories in it was Bean World, which I love, so.
You know, as much shit as I give Liefeld, I mean, especially now because I stopped buying his shit because of what he did. This is
a shoal.
Yeah, because he is an asshole, but I think he's got a passion for indies because he gets all these indie creators on his books. Like even Alan Moore, he recruited Alan Moore to come do his Supreme book. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like he gets, whatever he does, he gets the talent that he wants. Like even with Glory, which you guys are loving, right? He gets the talent he wants on the books that, you know.
When is that coming back, by the way, Bill? Do you know?
Nope. I don't know what the current status of it is.
I didn't know it went away.
I think they're all on break. Like, I think Prophet and Glory and whatever.
I think I saw Prophet solicited in the latest previews.
Yeah, it was.
I'm not sure I saw Glory. Maybe no, it was.
No, Glory wasn't, I don't think. I think they have been. They might just take like a month off or a couple months off in between arcs.
Well, I think Glory and Prophet are bi-monthly, so they might be going every other month.
That I don't remember.
So that one's just called Asylum?
Yeah, Asylum from Maximum Press. Here, this one has Risk, Megaton Man, Battlestar Galactica, which I don't know how they got that license, Traveler, and Green Valiant.
When did this come out?
I thought it was like the 90s.
Let me look. I thought we just asked.
1995 to 1997. Yeah, it was 11 issues. And you had people like Larry Marder, Rob Liefeld, Robert Napton, Eric Stevenson, and Stephen Platt.
Oh, there's Platt stuff in here?
Well, what issue did you have? One?
I have 1 through 8 and then 11.
Yeah, there's Platt stuff in there. You got Robert Loring Fleming on some of the stuff. There's some interesting stuff.
I've heard of it, and I'd never seen it, so I was curious to check it out. So, and I also got some Broadway comics that I...
Oh, I love Broadway.
...that I didn't have. So I got some... So I filled in... I got some Powers That Be.
That was such a good series. That one and... What was the Babe? I can't remember the woman one.
Yeah, I thought I had that. I got that and I got Shadow State, some Shadow States.
Those were such good comics. That was like Valiant over again for me, except it didn't last long.
Oh, Shooter, right?
Yeah, that was his company. Shooter went from Valiant to Defiant. I think he named Defiant because of what happened to him at Valiant. And Defiant was good, but I didn't really get into it like I did with Valiant. And then he went from there to Broadway, and Broadway felt much more to me like a Valiant universe.
I loved World of Plasm, though.
That was fucking too weird.
That was weird. That was awesome. And that was Laugh-Em, too.
Yeah, I need to go back and read it, especially because Laugh-Em is really... I just read... Remember I told you I signed up for the ride, the 12-gauge comic? Mm-hmm. And it had three stories in it, and one of them was Laugham drawn, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, he used to draw stray bullets, right? And he drew this, and it was really well done. He can draw.
Yeah, I like his art. I think he started as an artist.
Oh, really?
Well, because I think he started... He did some Valiant, didn't he?
Yeah, he did Valiant. He did... I think he did everything that... You know, he did Broadway. I think he followed Shooter even into...
Yeah, but I think he was just writing for those series, and then he did Stray Bullets, which was his self-published work. And then now he's more of a writer than a...
Yeah, I think my top three writers are Dysart, you know, him, and Powell right now. And it's kind of interesting because two of them are writer artists.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And Sholi. I love Sholi's stuff, which is he's doing writing and arting too.
Sholi. And then
he's got a t-shirt out.
And you like Lemire and Kent, and they're both writer artists.
There you go. You just have my top five right there.
There's something to be in a writer artist, I guess, in comics. Well, you have the you know
total
how to write
control
the
of
total
everything.
Control.
Well, then.
But even when I think when they're just doing the writing and not doing both, they know how comics work, so they understand what they need to put it in each panel and how to make it flow.
And Eric Powell has that Billy the Kid one coming out now with Holtz art. I mean, he always does the those with Holtz. Kyle Holtz, I think, is his name. He does those issues. I'm really looking forward to that. The third in the series.
Cool. I did read a couple comics I wanted to talk about. We'll start with I'll just briefly hit on. I finally read Batman number 12, the Becky Cloonan issue. And I loved the Becky Cloonan part of the book. The only thing I didn't like about this was the backup story, like, continued the main story, but with a different artist, and that, like, threw me off.
It didn't bother me.
I hated it.
I know, I saw your tweet.
Because, I don't know, I think I loved the Becky Cloonan art and story so much, and then all of a sudden it... And I didn't like... I just don't get it. Like, why did they...
Oh, it's because it's... She did... your standard 20 pages, and it's all Batman is always $3.99, and they do a front and a back just like Detective, and they got another artist to finish the story. Usually it's two separate stories though.
I know, it's another artist and another writer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same story.
Yeah,
stupid.
It did story wise it did flow okay. Like
I don't think it was quite as good, but
it's just that the art styles were on different dimensions. Like, I think if you went one way, his art would have been fine.
Right? It was the art itself was nice art. It's just it was so different.
I think it didn't bother me because the first part was more of a, to me, more of a sentimental story versus action.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part, it like went into high gear, and like, you know, they're in the sewers and the boat and the action scenes and stuff like that, and tigers are there. And that, I guess that's why it didn't bother me much.
Well, you're wrong. so I read. I'll stick with my main. Well, I read a lot on Marvel and DC's. Look at that, Hawkeye number one from Marvel. Did you read this?
It's
by Matt Fraction and art by David Aya.
That's the one where he is all busted up in the hospital, right?
Yeah, it starts, he's busted up in the hospital, and then it's him recovering and dealing with some, I don't know if they're mobsters or what, or just the owner of this the building he lives in, who's trying to sell it. Or actually he's raising everyone's rent in the building so he can sell it. It was really good. I really liked it a lot. It was more of it's a very down-to-earth type story, man-on-the-street type story with Hawkeye.
Yeah, I want to get number two now that I read number one.
And the art was... It just worked. The art and the story, I think, all just really worked well together.
Mm-hmm. I might just go digital on that one. God, I hate Marvel and the fucking digital packages. Assholes, man. They should do what every other company does. A month later, drop the price. Drop the
price, yeah. So they don't do that? They don't drop it all?
No. So it's like, you really need to get it through DCBS to get your discount, you know? It's $3.99. That, is it a $2.99? It's $2.99 book.
Yeah, $2.99, so $1.79. I know, it's always stupid when you can get the printed version for cheaper than the digital version.
Yeah.
But it was really good. I think Fraction, this is a classic Fraction story, I think. Kind of a... It was good. I'll probably get the trade on that one. Another DC, National Comics Eternity.
Oh, that's so good.
So the Kid Eternity. Now, is this going to be an ongoing? Or no, it's just a one-shot.
Well, it's a one-shot, but there's
a cliffhanger at the end.
Well, they had National Comics Looker, which I just read, so... They're making one shots out of a bunch of different characters.
And then what are they going to do after that?
I don't know, because it wasn't solicited this last month. It was
bring them all together, and they're going to form a weird team of weird characters that'll last two issues. It'll be an ongoing, and then it'll be a miniseries, and then it'll be canceled by the third issue.
I already think that National Comics was canceled. I really do.
Oh.
Didn't even make it that far.
Yeah, but the stories are... I mean, you talk about good done in one stories. They're really good.
Mm-hmm. And this one was written by Jeff Lemire. Or Lemire, however you say his name.
And Hamner art. Coley Hamner. I liked it.
Yes, and I used to read Kid Eternity back in the day, but I don't remember anything about it. So
I read, I believe, is it Grant Morrison who did a Kid Eternity story for a bit there?
Yes, he did the big graphic novel ones, I think.
Okay.
You know how the deluxe format ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I read that. That's my only experience, except for, I think, Teen Titans, maybe?
He was in Teen Titans, and that one got shat on, and I really liked it, because they had Kid Devil and Kid Eternity, and they had some obscure characters, but I think it worked well.
The one where Kid Devil died?
Yeah. There was a Kid Devil at the con dressed up like... He looked awesome, man. He even had the attitude of Kid Devil. Like, if you could if you could imagine Kid Devil's attitude, he was acting it pretty damn well. So yeah,
fully
it was,
embodied the character.
You're talking about the Kid Eternity miniseries by Grant Morrison and Duncan Fredrigo.
Yeah, it was a Vertigo, right?
Yeah, and then she... Anne Nesenti did a Vertigo series after that that lasted 16 issues.
Yeah, that was the ongoing one.
With Sean Phillips.
Yeah, Sean Phillips. Sorry, that was really good from what I remember, which isn't much. So this one, so Kid Eternity's deal is that he can, at least in this one, is that he can go to, I guess it's kind of like purgatory and bring back people to this world. So This issue is essentially him trying to solve a murder case. And it was really well done. I mean, it's Lemire writing, so the writing was real good and the art was real good. So it was an entertaining story. I enjoyed it.
That's cool.
Here's one I really liked. It was Think Tank from Image/Top Cow, written by Matt Hawkins and art by Rasan Ekedal. Am I pronouncing that completely wrong? Probably.
Probably. I don't know.
So this is kind of like a science comic book. It's about this dude who is really smart, but kind of like a slacker, who works for this think tank. Who runs the think tank? I think it was the army. Yeah. Oh yeah. He's kind of conflicted because he works for this think tank for CED, which I can't remember what CED stands for, but he's essentially working on creating weapons, the smarts for weapons. So this group is kind of trying to think, you know, a couple of years ahead, designing technology that they can use in these weapons to make smart weapons. It was really well done. The art is really good. The story I really liked. So this is one of the better books I've read in the last few months. So I really, really enjoyed it. And it gets a little bit into the science-y area and invention area. So he creates a new technology in this book that he's trying out. And I don't think he's released it to the company yet, but it was really good. I recommend that one. Think Tank.
I did buy that one. I just haven't read it yet.
No chance to read it.
I have. I think it's already on issue 3.
Is it? I don't know. Has a third one come out yet?
The second one has come out for sure.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of like sciencey stuff in here. I don't know how much of it was made up versus real, but
is it black and white?
Yeah, it's black and white. Then the last one. Oh, this is going back a bit. So I finally read this. It was the Deadpool Max by Laugham and Kyle Baker. Which I don't know why I never read it up to this point, but I just didn't. And this is the they collected the first 3 issues in one book, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I liked it. It was crazy shit.
Quite crazy. I mean, I'm a fan of both Laugham and Kyle Baker, so.
Kyle Baker's line style in that book was really sexy, I thought. I don't know. There's something about it I liked a lot.
Yeah, I like his the new style kind of art he's doing these days. So I like that. And I ordered the, they're coming out with a complete collection that I think collects like the first, was there like 2 Deadpool Max series?
If I remember correctly, there was a Deadpool Max 1 and a Deadpool Max 2.
Yeah. And I think the
one's a 12 issue one too.
Yeah, I believe the collection is all the issues. It was pretty big.
The only reason I bought it was because of Laugham, because I hate Deadpool. I mean, I don't like that character.
I'm not a big Deadpool fan.
At all. It was totally a purchase based on Laugham for me.
Yeah, I'm not a...
I've been on mute for like 5 minutes. I read only the first part of it, and I liked it as well, much more than I thought I was going to.
It's crazy, but it's like intentionally crazy, so he's taking the character and just like going as far out there as possible.
I think it recognizes the absurdity of the idea of Deadpool to begin with, and then,
well, he focuses on that one agent, right? That's working with Deadpool.
Yeah.
One blonde guy. I forget what his name is.
That he always abuses and ignores.
Yeah. It seems like the book, if I remember right, is more about him than it is about Deadpool.
It starts out about him and then it switches over.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find his name. Yeah, so they're bringing out a hardcover that collects Deadpool Max 1 to 12 and Deadpool Max 2, 1 to 6, and the Deadpool Max Christmas Special. So that would be a big one.
That's an omnibus, yeah, or hardcover or what?
Hardcover, 448 pages. Deadpool Max Glory. It's only like $20 on Amazon.
That's really? all it is?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Amazon coming with the discounts.
Yeah, that's the hard 43% discount.
Keith had bought some pages of, you know, comic art from this guy called Andrew Peepoy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've heard of him.
I've heard the name, but I don't remember what he's done.
I think he's doing a web comic now, but I bought the sketchbook, and it is awesome because his style is like something that you would see in Archie, but it's a cross between Archie and Dave Stevens. Like, if you were a big fan of The Rocketeer, it is awesome.
He does Simone and Ajax.
Yeah, I didn't get Simone and Ajax, but he had an. I should have. Now that I just didn't know if I want to invest it in a trade, because I didn't know him before this. Right. So I got like a 99-cent sampler of this thing called Monica Moon.
Okay.
And it was awesome. It was really cool. So like I want to get that Simone and Ajax now. That's, I think you could get it from IDW or Amazon should have it. But his art style is awesome. Awesomely sexy. Damn.
Awesomely sexy.
Yeah, the dinosaur is really hot.
Yeah, he's got a weird style because he has these like Muppet characters. Like in Simone and Ajax, he's got that dinosaur that looks like it's something like...
Stuffed animal,
right? But then she looks like really detailed and smooth. And in this one here, Monica and Majax, she has like a Muppet weird little figure that hangs out with her too. Like, you know, on that, the Muppets do that, mana mana, do 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 do. It's like one of those manununu characters that she hangs out with. But I really enjoyed it. So I linked onto his Facebook page and I'll be looking for his stuff. Because if I would have known who this guy was, I met him at 5:30 on Sunday, which is past closing time, and got a sketchbook. But if I would have known his style, I would have definitely got a sketch. Definitely.
So what did Keith get?
He bought two pages. He had did a G.I. Joe for DDP or whatever when they were doing G.I. Joe.
Okay.
And he had done a couple pages of that. He bought original artwork on that. And Rocketeer Adventures is awesome. I'm all finished with that series and then ready to jump onto the Cargo of Doom. But this one, I really like this anthology because I like what Rocketeer represents. There's some kind of innocence about it, being a hero without having power that I just absolutely love. And I love the time frame. And the first story was Louise Simonson with Walter Simonson art.
Oh, what?
Yeah, Rocketeer Adventures 2, number 4.
Really?
The second one was by David Mandel and J-Bone did art and colors. And the third...
Oh, my goodness. People I like.
The third one was John Byrne. So it was a no-shit issue, man. It was awesome.
Hmm.
Yeah, J-Bone did a really unique style on it. And because he has like this animated type style, I think.
Different from regular J-Bone art?
What else has J-Bone done?
Didn't he do the Wonder Woman the 70s issue of DC Retroactive?
Oh, Wonder Woman? It's very much in that style. Now that you reminded me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's done other stuff. I just can't. Like, I know that's the one I remember most recently.
And I'm still enjoying the G.I. Joe books immensely from IDW. Those continue to knock it out of the park. There's a huge cat fight with Helix and not Lady J, but what's the redheads one? I forget what her name is. I can't believe
it. Scarlet.
Scarlet, thank you.
Scarlet. <What's the> name
Scarlet's always loved like Snake Eyes, but they never really, I don't know if they ever really do anything, but I don't know if she loves him. It seems like she just loves him, but he faked his own death and Helix knew about it and said he was dead and they got in a huge fight over it. So that was kind of crazy, except they broke up the fight. Scarlet would have lost because Helix has like almost like Deathstroke ability to like predict movement and stuff like that. So there's no way that Scarlet could have won that fight. But that was cool. And I read Shadow Man preview. They had a free Shadow Man comic at the Valiant table.
Oh, did they?
Which was an 8-page preview of the new Shadow Man, which looks pretty amazing with Patrick Zercher art.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Jordan is writing the story. And it looks like Master Dark is back. So that should be cool. Any other books you guys want to mention? Or plug?
I haven't finished it yet. I picked up Howard Chaykin's Pulp Fantastic, a 3-issue thing from Vertigo.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it? It's, neither had I until I found it.
When did that come out?
I think the year 2000. Let's see. Chaykin didn't do the arc. It's from Vertigo 2000. So, when did this happen? February 2000. So, it's Howard Chaykin doing the story, and the art is done by Rick Burchett. Yeah. I don't know. It's sort of if Howard Chaykin never stopped doing Nick Fury books or whatever. But for Vertigo. So, like, no superhero stuff. Just, like, really, really weird spy stuff.
That's where he excels.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you can get a hold of the American Century Vertigo series, but I absolutely love that one.
Did Chaykin do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did that.
That was really good. And I haven't started to read it yet because I'm real hesitant to read it until I have all the issues in hand, but I have Black Kiss 2, which is supposed to be crazy from Image.
I remember when the first Black Kiss series came out.
Very pornographic.
Very controversial, yes.
I want to read the whole thing in one sitting, but I don't know. I might be tempted to dive into that. I hear it's really sexy. And I finished Blood Ties, Star Wars Blood Ties. That was really good. That was the Boba Fett is Dead.
Okay.
Really cool, because I've always liked Boba Fett, and this gives you a backstory that he actually has a female daughter, and he actually had a kind of a relationship with somebody, and the female's awesome. She's only like, I guess if I had to guess, she's like 5 or 6, but there was this dude he's like, I gotta protect this girl. The girl didn't need no protection. She pulls on this ion cannon and blows the shit out of the ship. She's only like 6 years old. So she's like, much like Boba Fett. Badass. You guys want to jump into TV? We've kind of already talked about Collection Intervention.
Yeah, what else is there?
I haven't seen the latest Toy Hunter yet. And I'm still making my way through season 2 of Breaking Bad.
How is that for you? Everyone seems to think it's the best show that ever happened to TV ever.
If you told me what the premise of the show was, I would have said I don't want to watch it, but I'm being sucked into it. You know what I mean? Like It's one of my favorite things to watch. Like right now, Barb wants to finish True Blood, and I'm like, no, but we have Breaking Bad. But I should finish True Blood. We only have 2 more episodes of that.
Of the new season?
Yeah. And then we've watched a lot of football.
Of course.
So far, things haven't played out to my liking, but...
Buffalo got smoked.
Yeah. They're playing the Chiefs today, too, I think. And,
So do you and Barb are going to watch it together, or...?
Yeah, once I'm done recording, we have to actually go pick up some mattresses, but I'm hoping that that's probably the early game, is my guess.
Probably.
So it's happening right now.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So... we get to go do that. I did eat an awesome Milky Way. I can't believe how good it was. It was like something that was heaven, man. It was a Milky Way with French vanilla instead of the nougat thing or whatever they have in there with the caramel.
So it's like a new Milky Way product?
Yeah, it's a new Milky Way product, but I bet you it's just one of those things to try, right?
Original, maybe.
I love it too much. I don't know. It's a good thing that's only out maybe then, because I could probably eat 10 of them in one shot. But it's got like a vanilla, French vanilla cream in there with the caramel on top of it. And oh my God, is it good.
What does French vanilla cream taste like?
Like a marshmallow vanilla. Oh God, it's good. I'm a big fan of the Peeps, right? So this thing is like, is right up my alley.
Peeps are the worst things that ever happen.
I love the Peeps. Especially the chocolate mousse ones. Those are awesome.
Ugh. Oh, fuck.
That sounds disgusting.
That sounds awful. This bullshit marshmallow stuff.
That's good marshmallow stuff.
I would try this Milky Way, though.
Yeah, French vanilla Milky Way. So TV-wise, nothing?
Not in TV. I did watch... Maybe I did watch TV. Did I watch TV? No. No TV. I watched Blade, the movie, though. Like, the first Blade.
Oh. For the first time?
No, for like the 40th time. For the first time in like a bunch of years. It is awesome. Like, I forgot how good it is.
Enjoy the Blade series. First one's like, the best by far.
First one is definitely the best. Like, Wesley Snipes is stone-faced the entire movie. Like, he only smiles when he's shooting people. It's awesome. It does action scenes well. And it's interesting how, like, the movie does this really awesome thing where, like, it makes you feel like Blade is really, really badass, like, the entire way through it. Like, even when he's getting his ass kicked, like, near the end of the movie, you're like, he's... Because he spends the entire movie instilling, like, this sense of fear in everybody about the idea of Blade. So, like, whenever Blade shows up, everyone's kind of, like, shits their pants and, like, runs off. So, like, there's this, like, omnipresence about him. So, whenever, like, even when he's getting his, like, ass kicked at the end, there's a sense of, like, as soon as he gets a chance to, like, catch his breath, like, it's game over for everyone else. And then it is, and it's awesome. And Stephen Dorff, it's hilarious. Like, he's a terrible actor, but as Deacon Frost, he's amazing.
Yeah,
like, this is what he's designed to do.
He was horrible in that Immortals movie.
He's in that?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. No, he's a terrible actor. Like, he's not any good at all, but like, Deacon Frost was a role that was kind of written for him. So, or at least this version of it. And it's like, it's Blade, like, it's different from the comics because this takes place in like Detroit and it's not nearly as British. And Whistler is great in this movie. And so, I'm a big fan. Big fan of Blade. And everyone's an asshole. Like, everyone, like, I think her name is Karen. Like the girl that Blade finds in the morgue and who's got bit, she's turning into a vampire or whatever. And the entire, like, instead, when she gets kidnapped by, like, Deacon Frost people, instead of, like, being scared or whatever, she just trolls the dude. Like, she's being an asshole, like, the entire time she's kidnapped. And it's like, that's fun. Like, it's, like, the whole movie does little things that are just more fun and different than what you expect from, like, you know, what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's almost single-handedly responsible for, like, all the superhero stuff, because this is the first one that, like, actually made money and wasn't completely terrible.
First superhero Marvel movie.
Marvel movie, yeah. No, not, like, Batman or whatever. I mean, like, as far as Marvel getting their shit together. Even though I don't even know who did Blade.
I think they just recently acquired... I think Marvel Entertainment recently acquired Blade again. Either that or they acquired Punisher and let them keep Blade or something.
Yeah.
Something funky like that.
New Line Cinema. No, Marvel was behind. Yeah. So I think Marvel always had Blade, I guess, and still does. Because this was one of the New Line Cinema's movie. I'm guessing Marvel has the rights to Blade if they ever wanted to use it.
Isn't Wesley Snipes kind of a mess right now? Or
yeah, well, yeah, you wouldn't bring Wesley Snipes back. He's like 80 years old anyway. You find somebody else to do it.
They have some good soundtracks to that, too. I had downloaded the soundtrack to the first movie. It was really good.
Oh.
It's like a rap song. I can't remember who sings it.
I don't even remember. I know there's like... There's awesome techno throughout the movie, and it's full. It's so full of like late '90s stuff that comes through. Like, like Deacon Frost does this weird businessman routine like partway through the movie, and there's like this corporate, like the vampires are like these old stodgy dudes who essentially just run a bunch of corporations, and they're sitting around talking about their finances, and Deacon Frost is over here whining about wanting to be awesomer than he really is and ends up getting everybody killed. It's great. Like, it's a fun, it's a really fun movie. Doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. This wasn't crazy about the when they slash a vampire, the digital effect.
It's the Buffy effect, and it looks shitty in Buffy, and it looks shitty here, and
I'd rather have it like something in Fright Night, like where the arm falls off, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it could look, I think if done now, it would work better. I like the idea of them turning into ash like that. It's just, it doesn't, it's kind of cheesy.
And that's the only thing across the board I wasn't a fan of.
Everything else was awesome. I just like Blade in general. So vampire killing is fun. And the vampires in this movie are gross. Like, when they eat, like, it's not, like, whenever they go to eat a human being, like, it's not pretty. Like, there's blood everywhere, and it's super disgusting. And the whole movie is really gory. Like, so, like, I guess when I was a kid, I didn't even notice that. Like, now I'm like, holy crap, there's blood everywhere. And, like, dudes blow up. And, like, there's the one scene where Deacon Frost takes, like, one of the old vampire leaders, like, I guess, like, the chairman of the board, and takes him outside where he gets blown up by the sun. And, like, they show him, like, his skin ripping apart and exploding. Like, I don't even remember this happening. So maybe this is, like, there's, like, an extended version that I have, but, or I just don't remember it. No, I think it's the regular version. It's just, when I saw it as a kid, I didn't even notice how, like, absurdly over-the-top gory it was. But good movie. People should watch it.
I own them. I like them.
Yeah, I have all three of them. This is, like, the first one is definitely my favorite.
Is that the one with the big shower scene and the dance?
Yeah, that's the one where they walk into a club.
That's awesome.
And then blood comes out, blood just pours out of the ceiling.
No, that was an awesome scene, though. It's just cool as shit.
Yeah. It was a good take on, like, vampire stuff. So, yeah. I like Blade. That's it. That's all I've seen.
I don't think I've seen any movies.
There's nothing in the theaters right now. Like, just, well, Resident Evil just came out. I'll probably see that when it goes to the Dollar Theater. I love all those movies.
I like them too. Like Barb, that's one of the movies that Barb's like, go watch it without me. Like she doesn't want to watch. She doesn't want to watch them, but I enjoy them a lot.
I've only seen the first one.
Is the only actually good movie. Everything else from there is just like this weird disaster, and the story doesn't make any sense. Like this is what, movie six now. Yeah, story doesn't make any sense like anymore. That. But it's sure like they're fun as hell to watch. Like. Mila Jovovich and an assorted cast of people kick ass all the time against zombies.
This one's 3D if you like 3D.
I'm good on that. I think the last one was in 3D as well, probably.
I am going to see Judge Dredd this coming weekend, though, because I really want to see it.
Is that coming up this weekend?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. It's been getting good hype, it seems.
Plot.
Yeah, I want to see it. All the Judge Dredd comics I like are 8-page stories of just bizarre and weird shit, and him saying, I am the law. And him bringing these, you know, he just in weird situations, and there's weird crimes going on, and he's bringing them in.
Yep.
Like, it's or good. Killing them.
Good stuff. Yeah, and his gun shoots shit. It's awesome.
Yeah, I don't remember watching anything. I haven't even watched in our new movie challenges yet. I'm not looking forward to any of them, even my own.
Oh, wow. What is it this week? Or this?
We got some John Stewart, or not John Stewart, Patrick's, who's the Captain Picard guy?
Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, Patrick Stewart movie called, I don't even know what it's called. It's, he plays a villain. It's.
Wasn't that your pick?
No, that was Keith's. Okay. My pick was, I don't even know what the fuck it is. I think it's Bounty Hunters, but I don't even want to see that.
Wait, the romantic comedy?
No, this one is bad. This one's not something that came to the movies.
Oh.
And then I don't even remember what Daryl's pick is. That goes to show. I have to go look at the show notes.
Next week you got to pick Troll Hunter.
Yeah, I will.
Soul Hunter is good stuff.
It's got subtitles, though. Good lord.
It doesn't matter.
Whatever.
It's mostly just giant trolls.
Oh, I know what. Speaking of subtitles, I know his movie is like Battle Royale now.
Oh, yeah, Battle Royale 2.
Battle Royale? 2.
Oh, 2. Oh, fuck. Really? Why?
I don't know. I haven't even watched the first one yet, but I'm just going to jump to 2 because I tried to watch the first one and I got 10 minutes in and I was like, I'm just going to jump to 2. Fuck it.
2 is not any good.
Oh, I don't care. I don't want to suffer through 1. If 2's not good, I just get through both of them.
Force his way through. 1's bad enough, right?
Yeah. I got to pick a good one this next time.
You're not going to like it. I know that much.
I didn't hate... what is that? The Mozart Sister. I'd rather watch shit like that than some of the other shit we're watching.
I want to see Battle Royal.
I like the first movie.
Yeah. The classic. Wasn't like the third or fourth one supposed to be good too?
Possibly.
How many are there?
I lost interest. Like 2 was like it was really weird. But yeah, like I remember reading the book as a kid and was thoroughly amused by it.
Battle Royale. So hopefully next time we talk, I'll get Judge Dredd at least, and then through these things, I have to watch them by next week. I don't know how I'm gonna watch them. Got a busy week ahead of me.
With work or just with other stuff?
With work, yeah. Work has been really, really busy lately. It's been crazy.
It's better than being.
We were even at in Baltimore. I think it was 11:30 at night, and they called me from work. I'm like, oh shit.
To be fair, it was only 9:30 when they called you.
Yeah, so. That's true.
It's only... still way too late to be calling people for work stuff.
I think there's only 2 Battle Royals. I'm not seeing a third one. Maybe something else I'm thinking of. Maybe I'm thinking of the comic or something.
There is like the manga that came out, and that went on for a while.
This movie looks interesting. House of Pleasures. the cover of it looks really sexy.
No,
I bet you that one has. Oh, it's about a bordello. I'm gonna put that one on my queue. House of Pleasures. It's popular on Netflix too. I wonder why.
I can't imagine. Can't fathom a guess.
How come it's not letting me add to my queue?
It doesn't want you to watch it.
I want to add it to my queue. Instant queue. There we go. I'm going to enjoy that movie. Move to position 1. No, I'm going to. I'll do the Troll Hunter next time. The Troll Hunter. If it's good horror, I'll enjoy it.
Even I liked it.
So, anything else you guys want to plug, or any movies, or you didn't watch any movies, Bill?
I did watch one, but it's called The Dead Girl.
Oh, I saw that.
With Brittany Murphy.
I don't know if it's the same girl. Is it the one that they have sex with in the old asylum?
No, different one.
Mm.
Different dead girl. I know there's probably like about 14 different movies called The Dead Girl or Dead Girl or Dead Girls. Now this is about, it starts out where Toni Collette discovers this body of a dead girl. And then they tell the story in like, there's about, I think 4 or 5 vignettes where first they tell the story of the Toni Collette character who found the body, and she lives with her mother and kind of lives a horrible life. And meets a guy. And then the next story is about... what was the second one? I think the second one is the sister of a missing girl where they think that the dead body is her sister. And they tell her story. Then the next one, I think, is about the mother of the dead girl. And then the third one is finally the story of the girl who died, which was Brittany Murphy. I liked it. I thought it was really well done. It's quite enjoyable. Dark, very dark.
It's just Dead Girl?
Yeah, I think the Dead Girl.
That doesn't even show up on Netflix.
I think I have the name right. The Dead Girl.
Oh, The Dead Girl.
Yeah, it's The Dead Girl. Not Dead Girl. Not to be confused with Dead Girl, which is a girl with no eyes.
The Dead Girl. I don't see that coming up in Netflix either.
Maybe they don't
have it. As a DVD or a instant watch.
Toni Collette.
Yeah, it had a lot of good people in it.
Maybe if I could spell it right.
Dead Girl. Grill. Those are
two difficult words. This was about like a dead grill. The Dead Girl. Oh, there it is. Yeah, if I didn't put grill in there, it'd help.
Would have found it.
The Dead Grill sounds interesting, though, too. It's like, I have a barbecue on this grill because it's dead.
Try to light it and it won't go.
Yeah, you'll get some kind of salmonella or something because it doesn't cook the meat properly. It's a dead grill.
No, you could have the Dead Grill and it brings things back to life. Like, you put
cooking it, it turns back into the animal that it came from.
Yeah, so all of a sudden, like, you're cooking like chicken wing or something. And
it's a chicken.
Hopping around on the grill. Well, that's a good idea. I'm going to write that down.
What about a vampire grill?
That sounds like a place vampires hang out.
To have a
vampire grill.
To have some flesh.
Like a cabana spot.
And it's ironic because vampires don't grill things.
Then there's the living girl.
That sounds boring.
The 1982. This one has your name on it, though, Bill, because it's foreign, it's horror, and it's France. Foreign origins.
Uh-oh.
The Living Dead Girl from 1982.
A Living Dead Girl?
Yeah.
Living Dead Girl.
It's from France. Bill likes those.
I like the Frenchies.
Did you watch that Mozart Sister yet?
No.
It's on AOL.
AOL. Oh, really, Mike?
Amazon. What do you call it?
I know I need to watch it.
Yeah, that's how I watched it. I don't have Netflix, so.
I found Return of the Living Dead Girl.
Oh, really?
It looks horrible.
Living Dead Girl. It's a book by Elizabeth Scott. Or a book or a Blu-ray starring Francois Blanchard and Maria Piero. They're probably French.
From what it is, France's first gore film.
There's blood everywhere.
Ooh, this movie looks good. Cherry Bomb.
It's only an hour and 14 minutes, too.
Oh, sweet. Knock it out right now. It's less than an episode of Geek Brunch. Look at that.
Add that to my instant queue, too. So people reviewing it are giving it 1 star. Cherry Bomb. Follows a young dancer in her quest for revenge against a group of men that brutally assaulted her. Cherry enlists the help of her older brother with some heavy firepower as the two siblings set up on a reckless revenge mission. 1 star. Wow, that's pretty bad.
Oof.
Yeah, you can find some true gems on Netflix instant streaming.
Is that what people reviewed it or what they think? That's the one thing I didn't like about Netflix is... Sometimes the stars are like what they think you'll think of it.
Well, these stars, it says for me, based on what I've rated, it says 3 stars for me. Oh, but then I clicked on the reviews for other people, and they've done 1 star. Pretty flat across the board.
France's first gore film. I'm excited to watch this.
Which one is that?
Revenge of the Living Dead Girl. 2 stars.
Revenge of the Living.
Sounds horrible.
1987. Revenge of the Bridesmaids. Revenge of the Musketeers. I don't think I've seen that one. I love Musketeer movies.
Did you watch the one with Mila Jovovich and I think Orlando Bloom?
Yes, it was.
Well, Three Musketeers.
I thought I was going to be really offended by it because I love like the Michael York Three Musketeers, Four Musketeers, and the Three Musketeers Return or whatever it's called. Those are like. If you ask me what my top 10 films, I would have
17 movies.
Yeah, there. If my top 11 films, they'd both be in the top 11. So I like love the Musketeers, and I've even seen the Charlie Sheen one, which is okay. But I love the whole concept of it. But I really enjoyed. It had like a steampunk feel to it. It was weird, and I liked it because it was so different. Did you see it,
Micah? Yes. I've seen everything Paul W.S. Anderson has ever done because I can't stop myself.
I enjoyed the shit out of it. And I want to own it as soon as the price comes down.
I saw him on some show. Oh, he was on Face Off as a celebrity judge.
Oh, really? Yeah. I don't even know what the dude looks like. I just know that.
Oh, he did the new Resident Evil, right?
He does all the Resident Evil movies.
That's right.
He's done all of them. Okay. He did the first Mortal Kombat movie. He did Three Musketeers.
Three Musketeers.
Mike, did you like The Man in the Iron Mask?
I did. So I did
Event Horizon as well.
I saw Event Horizon, yeah. I like that whole mythology or whatever, you know. The D'Artagnans and the I love how one's a priest and one's a womanizer and one's a drunk and it's crazy. They're so different, but they one for all and all for one is awesome because each one of them is so distinctively different, but then they fight like together. It's awesome. They're like a well-oiled machine. But I wonder if that new one, is it The Three Musketeers or Three Musketeers?
Yeah, it's The Three Musketeers.
It's The Three Musketeers.
Names are stupid.
The best one's the 1973 one by far. But then there's The Three Musketeers with Mickey, Donald, and Goofy, too.
That's the best
one. I haven't seen that one. I should add that one to my queue. No, it's Musketeers. Goofy and Mickey and Donald are the Musketeers. And then they have the 1966 version, which I've never watched. They have a 1921. Jesus, 1939, 1948.
I mean, it's public domain stuff.
You call yourself a completist.
And they have the
You said you were a fan. You're not a real fan.
They have Barbie and the Three Musketeers from 2009.
Oh, that has to be awesome.
And they have.
Okay. I've seen the YouTube Barbie show.
It is the YouTube Barbie show.
It is a, like, three, they're like these 3 or 4 minute long episodes of.
People walking Barbies around the screen?
No, it's CG. It's like Barbie from Toy Story in her own show with other Barbie characters.
Is it official?
Yep.
So this is just a short they put on some of their DVDs or something?
I guess so. Or maybe they're all on YouTube. Like, It's called Life in the Dream House. It's
self-explanatory.
Pretty much. Like it's a thing. Like it happens, and I've seen it. So all you need to know about me and my life.
So food, anything besides the Milky Way? French vanilla. Barb made chicken enchiladas. They were awesome. And I had lasagna, so it was a good week of eating.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
I need a... make some lasagna. Oh, there's Barbie just appeared on my screen.
Oh, we got a Barbie on YouTube?
So I need to find some good jalapeno recipes.
Jalapenos go on everything. What do you need jalapeno recipes for?
You just make food, insert jalapeno.
Put jalapenos on it?
Yeah.
I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to...
I've never had fish jalapeno, though. That sounds weird.
I'm sure it'll work if you do it right.
A fish taco with jalapenos in it, maybe?
There you go.
Can do that.
We had enchiladas as well, but ours were potatoes.
Potato enchiladas. What kind of sauce is on that?
Enchilada sauce.
What kind of potatoes? We usually have like a white sauce with potatoes.
No, we like fry the potato, like cut them into like squares and kind of fry them up beforehand. Mm-hmm. I guess like the same thing you would do with chicken. Well, except for you don't fry the chicken, but you know.
Yeah, you'd have to cook the potatoes. They take too long.
Yeah, you cook the potatoes, so we fried them up until they were nice and crispy, and then we rolled them in with the, you know, vegetables and such, and then put them in the oven with lots of cheese, and then ate them. And it was very, very good.
That sounds unusual, though. It's just there's no chicken or meat.
Nope, it was unusual.
Well, I've heard of cheese enchiladas, too, but not potato.
We did potatoes. One time we had like pineapple enchiladas as well.
So. My favorite is banana enchiladas.
I've not had banana enchiladas.
With mole sauce.
Are you serious? Are you just pulling our leg here?
No, we got it. Well, there's a restaurant by us. That's one of the things they have. Banana enchiladas.
Oh, God. That sounds horribly bad.
I would try it.
It's good. It's a grilled bananas in there with mole sauce.
It's like, have you had banana ice cream? It's like, well, not really banana ice cream. You just take bananas and you freeze it. And then you mush it up and eat it. The texture becomes ice cream. And the flavor is still like banana. But it's good.
I've had a frozen chocolate-covered banana on a stick.
I have had those.
Like a popsicle, but it's a banana.
Covered in chocolate.
Just covered with chocolate. Man, I want some banana enchiladas now. Maybe I'll make some banana, fry up some bananas.
You're going to make your own?
I think I'm going to go get some yuccas and make something out of those from the store. I need to get some fish anyway, so...
Is that going to be for dinner, Bill? Or breakfast, or lunch? Or dinner?
Luffer?
Dinner. It's like between lunch and dinner. Dinner.
A looper. I don't know. We don't have any bananas. So. I made banana muffins last night.
Oh, banana muffins are great.
You like the bananas, don't you?
I like bananas. I have a good banana muffin recipe, so I make those a lot. It's actually a banana. It was a banana bread recipe, but I just make banana muffins.
Easier to eat?
Yeah, easier to eat, and they last longer.
I know you're a lot healthier than me, but I couldn't live on your diet. I just wouldn't enjoy anything.
Well, you don't like banana muffins?
I like banana muffins, but the fact that he can't have chicken or meat. Well, it's not that he can't. He chooses not to. Can't have chicken or beef. It would throw my system into like this. I'd be depressed all the time. Like, be healthy but depressed.
Get used to it.
Like, I don't think I could. I mean, I could if I had to or whatever. Like, going full vegetarian would be difficult. But like, the only meats I eat are really chicken and fish, so
it's mostly only difficult going to restaurants.
Yeah, like I eat poultry and fish. That's basically like the list, and so
yeah, I eat fish. So if I ever have the craving for meat, I'll just eat some fish, raw.
But the thing is, like, I really my problem is that like I really enjoy fried things, and I really there are like certain things that you can't do unless you eat meat, and I like the texture of like I like tempura, and
I love tempura,
and so you can't really do that with like a lot of vegetables because water and stuff, it's weird, like
are you saying tempura because they usually use vegetables in there, like carrots and broccoli and
Yeah, but that's all you get. You can go sit down somewhere. It doesn't work out. Like, you need shrimp and fish to go with it.
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, what are you eating? The shrimp, though, that's one meal that I could eat with just vegetables and be okay. As long as I have a good kind of sauce, you know, like dipping sauce for tempura. then I'm very satisfied.
I don't ever use sauce. I just eat it straight up.
Oh, you're missing out, my friend.
And see, I make fried chicken, and then I take the skin off and just eat the chicken itself. Because I like the way it tastes. I like how it seals in some of the moisture.
Oh, you're missing the... Better. Why don't you put the skin aside? Let me eat the skin, and you can eat the meat.
I would do that.
Put it in a box and send it to Mike.
Hey, Mike, you got the
first... You have a box of chicken skins coming to you. A box of
chicken skin.
The grease is, like, the bottom of the box is all, like, wet, dripping.
It's the way I like it.
What was I just going to say? Something else about food. I've already forgotten. Yeah, I like...
Now I want tempura.
Go get you some.
I'm craving Japanese now. I mean, it's not going to happen, but if we...
Teriyaki stuff.
In a perfect world right now, if I could sit in front of a grill where they're grilling chicken teriyaki with...
Have some chicken teriyaki enchiladas?
And then... oh, God, I love the sauces. I don't know what's in the sauces... For tempura at a Japanese restaurant, but it's some kind of soy based sauce, but it's not soy. I mean, it's probably has it in there, but it's got other stuff, and it's so good. Damn, I'm hungry.
Well, then we should possibly end this episode, and then you can go get some food.
You could buy just like a bottle of tempura dipping sauce.
Let's see if Amazon has it.
Why don't you buy some and put some in a banana?
Dip my banana in the tempura sauce.
You dip that banana in there. Enjoy it.
Let's see.
Man, that. I'd be thin as a. Yeah, I don't know how I would live.
As a thin person.
That does sound...
It's true that you could get used to eating shit because I went on that Atkins.
Wow.
You sound like Daryl now.
He's rubbing off on me, man. He really is.
Vegetables.
He's like yelling at Barb all the time. And I've never seen anybody like Twitter yell as much as he does.
I mean, I think his caps lock key is broken or something.
So. No, he does that because he gets angry. You mentioned vegetables. He doesn't eat vegetables.
Like at all?
Well, all he did was drink and fall asleep. I've never seen a guy fall asleep in the upright position. Like, I mean, when you're like fast asleep. And it's weird because it looks like he's going to fall over, but his body doesn't fall over.
His body's used to his drunkenness, so it just compensates.
It circles back, and then he's back in alignment like he's up, you know, upright again. And then like 2 seconds later, his body's like falling backwards. There was one time he's like almost to fall into Barb's lap, and I was like, he's going to fall. And then he like circled back, and he was standing back up again. I don't understand how he could do that.
And he's standing?
No, he's sitting down, but he's back in the upright position, like fully sitting down. Mm-hmm. It looks like he's almost in a laying down position, but he never gets there. Me and Keith just were there like laughing our asses off because we're like looking at him and his eyes are shut. And we're like, what the fuck? It's funny. All right. You can reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com. We have a Facebook page. If you go to Facebook, you could type Geek Brunch Podcast. You could reach us at Forum for Geeks. Scroll down to Geek Brunch there. And we all have mail, Mike, Bill, and Micah at comicbooknoise.com. And we're on Twitter, @do_what, DBM00, and Mike Myers Brunch. And don't forget to om-activate.
Right, it's quite important for you to do.
Makes you feel good. Daryl said his pajama jeans are getting too tight. That's not a good sign.
That's a really bad sign. They're designed specifically not to get tight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's physically impossible, I thought.
I guess he ate a lot.
I guess there's a max, you know, you can max out the elastic, I guess.
When it starts engraving into your skin, I guess that's the point you need a new pajama jean size, right?
Time to move up. Yeah, and I'm sure those pajama jeans come in at least triple X, probably quadruple X.
Oh, dude, they go to five, man. Like, that's the market.
They started X.
They started XL. Yeah, you can't get them any smaller than XL.
So that's that.
Awesome.
That is the end of everything. Of everything. So.
Yes. Read comics.
Yeah.
Comics are good for your brain.
Read The Goon. Don't listen to Daryl. Read The Goon.
Read Deathlok. Don't listen to anyone who's read comics in the last 15 years.
Dwayne McDuffie Deathlok? Or are you referring to a different...
I like that Deathlok, but what I have is... Oh, this is an Infinity War crossover. And this is part of the Biohazard agenda. And this one is the Cyber War. So I don't even know who wrote half of this shit.
Go, we'll find it. You can find it in a quarter bin.
Just go to like a hotel con and it'll be there for like 25 cents.
Well, if you went to Baltimore Con, it was probably in the free box.
this is Gregory Wright. This is...
Just a quick,
I don't have that one.
Quick number of shout-outs. I got free stuff from Campbell. I got free stuff from Rock. Rock gave me some like signed Snyder Batmans, including number 12, which was one of my favorite issues. And John Thurmond, I got a couple of G.I. Joe kind of who's who's. I forget what it's called, Order of Battle or whatever. And it's kind of cool for me because I'm kind of new to the G.I. Joe verse, so... You know, having all the who's who type material is awesome. What else did I get? Oh, Star Joes. They gave me two action figures, Dr. Fate and the Atom. And I got the hardcover for G.I. Joe Hearts and Minds. So I got a lot of free shit, man.
I was going to say, no wonder you didn't get stuff at the con because you couldn't ship it back to yourself.
Yeah, Barb's just shaking her head.
No room in your luggage.
I bet.
I know what's going on in Barb's mind. No, but Barb's mind is like working. I could see it working. She's like, God, I wish Mike would do this. In other words, bring boxes of shit that I've already read and just say, have at it. I know she wants me to do that so bad. But I'm crazy like that, damn it. So
never get rid of all.
I need an intervention.
It would be like what happens on the show. So we would come into your house and we would pretend to sell all your stuff.
Yeah,
and then they'd actually leave with more comics.
Hey, Micah and Bill, you could get a free trip down here if we say we want to do it, right? You'll say,
absolutely.
We really have a concern, and then they'd fly you guys down here because you're worried about me. And you could bring Tom Scholey with you, and you could just he could just shake his head and say, "Damn, this is ridiculous."
He'd sit down and
sell
talk
me a
for
box
you.
Of this stuff. He I could, will give you a page out of something.
Yeah, Tom Scholey could say, why don't you focus your collection on Jack Kirby and get rid of all the other shit?
What do you have all this other stuff for? You don't need it.
Like they had Richard Hatch come in for the Battlestar Galactica one. I'm like, okay. That'd be interesting. You get a free flight out to Colorado and you can act concerned for a whole episode.
I could act concerned. Just
don't know what to do anymore.
And then when the show airs, we'll just air it like a Geek Brunch episode.
We'll just have a camera with Barb and be like, don't you want your kitchen back? Don't you just want
Barb could be in tears.
Just being so,
sit in
so
my
sad.
Kitchen anymore.
I knew he liked comics when I married him, but I never know it would go this far.
Yeah, she said,
this is what they all say. And I'm like, you're a moron.
Fuck that woman that was complaining about 30,000 comics.
Yeah. 30,000 is nothing.
Nothing.
Then you have to go to Denver Con and, like, what's it called? What's the one in Colorado?
Denver Comic Con? Well, there's two. Yeah. One's Comic Fest and the other one is Denver Comic Con.
You have to go to one of those and pretend to sell yourself at a booth.
Yeah. At some point, I know I need to do it. It's like part of it's heart-wrenching because it does have some kind of value to me, and a lot of it's not valuable. Do you know what I mean? The only thing that's different between that guy that had 30,000 and mine is I do have Silver Age books and Bronze Age books, like First Conan, First Scarecrow, First Penguin.
Well, those ones you would keep. Just get rid of
the
90s era.
Get rid of your entire Cable run. You don't need that.
Except for the ones that look like Kirby. They had that one artist draw the Cable.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that? LeDron. That was like awesome Cable, man. That was my Cable right there. All you have to do is do a Kirby impression or something that looks like off that style, and I'm like sucked into the art.
Get rid of every book with Bishop in it.
I love that hairstyle, though.
There's an excuse for everything.
I think Daryl should get hair like that. He would be awesome if he went to a con with Bishop hair.
And get the get like an M over his eye as well.
Yeah. I'll draw that in next time he's drunk. I'll draw an M over his eye. Say, hey, Bishop. I think he really likes Bishop, too.
Probably.
I think that's one of his favorite X-Men. All right, well, have a good weekend. Enjoy football, and Bill, enjoy your bananas.
I will.
With mole sauce.
My bananas in tempura sauce.
How about you tempura some bananas, and then put that in enchilada sauce, and wrap it up in a tortilla.
And then throw some jalapenos on top.
Absolutely. That's it. Done. That's what we're doing this weekend. Over the next 2 weeks. All right, bye, guys.
All right, bye.
See ya.